This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Lost a good job in the city, 'cause I was looking for a man every night and day, and I never got a minute of sleep, 'cause I was cruising the piers by every river and bay. Big queens keep on turning,
turning.
Trolling on the river. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four. Hey, Marines were easy bait in Memphis. Pumped a lot of priests in New Orleans. They got every type that cruising by the river. Hustlers and choir boys and leather queens. Big queens keep on turning. Plow Marys keep on burning. Trolling on the river. Trolling on the river. Hey, if you go down at the river, you could do a neighbor or a relative. You don't have to worry if you lose your hand, because the people on the river are happy to give. Big queens keep on turning, and down there is keep on churning. Trolling on the river. Trolling on the river.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston. Galveston in the world. This is the 14th of November edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the original one.
The original one. I like that. That's good. And I'm Wes Laverne, the, well, I guess I can say it this now, the other one.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Yeah.
Yep.
It's now official.
We've made him a co-executive, which also means it realized that when the FCC comes down to...
Yeah. I'll blame it all on you.
Yeah.
See, Jimmy agrees. We all blame it on you. That's what he gets for...
Okay.
That's what he gets for playing around out there, not being in here and getting ready for the show.
Well, the problem is he's trying to eat a donut.
I don't usually eat food at the station.
And put on headphones. And...
Good Lord.
You know...
Jimmy, you're just a mess tonight.
I am.
And... You've got cord running. I haven't seen it look like that on you since the last time you were in the hospital.
Oh, thank you.
I was going to say the ABS.
Stuck in the glasses.
Oh, is that what the problem is?
Yeah,
so it looks like the other side, Mary.
Oh.
No, lift and separate.
I'm a mess. Okay, never mind.
See,
it's radio, it's not TV.
I need to give Jimmy some fat guy lessons that basically, while you're doing that, because you don't want to put the donut down on the table.
No.
That's a bite size you have in your mouth. So shove the whole thing in your mouth. You've had bigger things in your mouth
than that. Yes, yes.
But
I have to agree.
When they get too big, I can't do them justice.
Oh.
And since that donut's been here since at least this morning, that's probably not as stiff as you're used to either. Pretty close.
Oh, mercy me.
Mm.
And it just continues over.
Now he needs to wash it down. Nothing like washing down a coconut-covered donut with a Diet Coke.
That's like walking into McDonald's and saying, I'll have one of everything and a Diet Coke.
I've had worse chasers.
Me too. actually, no, I think what's the worst thing is when you go and order a Diet Coke float. I want to have a hidden camera and walk into like Sonic's and Dairy Queen's and go, yeah, I'd like a Diet Coke float, please. And yes, I do want the whipped cream.
Oh, wow. Well.
Well, we are fresh from
Tony's Corner Pocket.
Well, okay, we are less than fresh from...
Tony's Corner Pocket.
Yes, where we had the fabulous fundraiser this evening.
Yes.
For KPFT.
Yeah, well, we didn't do too badly either.
No, we didn't.
So, yeah.
It was an intimate crowd.
I don't think you could call that intimate, darling.
I was being intimate.
What, backstage?
Well, or wherever.
Well, he did have his pants down a couple of times.
I did.
I wouldn't doubt that.
I just wanted to make sure I had more costume changes than anyone else.
That you did.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them were pink.
Yes.
He went from pink to more pink to...
Pink again.
This is a different pink. This is the fifth shirt he's been in tonight.
Yes, it is, actually.
Yes, it is.
Damn.
As a matter of fact... I've got a million of them,
that's,
folks.
That's more costume changes than Cher does in one show.
Yep.
Jeez.
He only wishes he could turn back time.
Anyway, it was fun. We owe a lot of thanks to a lot of folks out there.
That we do.
All the wonderful performers.
Yes, we had the great Regina Dane there.
The great Dane, yes. And we can't even tell you on the air the title of the song, the second song she did.
But FCC Me.
It brought down the house. Absolutely brought down the house.
Yeah, that was...
That number got the most amount of tips, didn't it?
Must have.
I think pretty close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was a...
those that could stand up front, and not be falling down on the ground laughing.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And Eddie was a witness to it.
Yes, he was.
Yes, thankfully we weren't broadcasting at the time.
Oh, thank goodness. Last thing we need is another 4-week vacation.
Mm. But it was a great song. And
yes,
she did it specifically for us because it's not a number that she can do on the air.
And also, God is a DJ, her opening number.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We can't do that song either.
No.
We thought we could, and then we were standing up ready to ship her, and then it's like, oh, God.
Oh, no, can't do that one.
Mm-mm. There's a big FCC nowhere.
Yeah,
there
was a big FCC right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's only one. It's not like the other one that's starting every sentence.
Yeah. It's too bad Hot and Bothered is on the air, because we could hand them that, and they would play it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. On a loop for the entire show.
Mm, it was great. But it
well,
was
it could have been worse. You could have done the Pussycat song.
Mm. Yeah.
No, I did Pussy.
Oh, I know.
The Pussy Tourette. You did Pussy Tourette. If I can't
sell it,
I'm going to sit right down on it.
And that he did.
In that lovely chair.
Yes.
Fresh from my apartment.
I thought maybe... I thought you got a... Well, I was going to say I thought you got it in an antique store, but then he said it was your apartment, so... Mm.
Same difference.
I do like how people acknowledge the fact when I pointed at that cheap guy I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
That was me. Thank you very little for that.
Yeah.
No, I have owned that chair for over 40 years.
Doesn't surprise me.
Years or generations?
Years.
How many generations, though?
I don't know. It was not new when I got it, and I don't know how old it is, actually. But it's a lovely Dante chair.
Yes.
But I figured that was an appropriate prop for that song.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And I never want to hear that song again.
He's been listening to it, 20 times an hour for the last 3 days, trying to, get the words down. But that's what you have to do when you do lip syncing.
Yes.
And that's what all these folks do.
They do it well.
Yes, and the female impersonators not only do that, but they have to buy their own... wigs and makeup and outfits and put it all together and do this all for charity.
I was really impressed. We had 3 live singers.
Yes.
Yep.
One of them local artist.
Mm-hmm.
Jane Arsenault.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, we're scheduled to have 4.
Oh.
We'll speak to him later.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Ooh. And you know who you are when you listen to the show tomorrow. We had Jay Arsenault performed a couple of his songs live, and we've got a copy of his new CD that has those songs on that. Scott Kenyon and Orlin Culliver.
Yes.
All performed live. In fact, we had more live singers than we had female
impersonators.
Yeah. Unless you count me.
Just a drag queen.
Now we had Abby Normal there.
Yes.
She was fabulous.
Regina and Abby.
Mm-hmm.
And Christy Sotheby for her one song.
Mm.
The debut of Christy.
Oh, God, that was scary.
Hopefully not her finale.
Probably for January. Wherever that is.
Okay.
And we
January?
Had...
January? What's January?
Sing for My Supper, your birthday?
No.
You're not going to do a birthday benefit?
Well, it's going to be a birthday show, but I don't know. I was thinking about doing one for scholarships.
Ah, yes.
For the Hatchlings?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
And Peggy Rudd scholarship as well, maybe.
For the transgender?
I'm thinking about calling it, hi, I'm Chris Hansen. Would you like to take a seat?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I'm sure the folks at NBC would appreciate that one.
I think the Hatchlings will have a bigger problem with that one.
Yeah.
I think. And we had both the Emperor candidates from E-Resus, Matt Gill and Falcon Fur.
And Sherry Bowden was not there because she was attending a funeral.
Yeah, the memorial service over in Austin.
Memorial service, but she left a nice, generous check, which...
Thank you.
Yes, you bet.
Yes, thanks. I think, was that all?
Tony
kicked in a check for both the food pantry and KPFT.
Yes, that was very, very nice of him to do that. Yeah. Very.
And then we had a nice sizable chunk of cash handed in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was always nice.
It was great. And
lots and lots of food.
Lots and lots of food. Where is all that food?
It's in the back of my father's lesbian mobile.
Oh,
that's right, ladies. If you see the maroon F-150 cruising around the Montrose...
Don't honk. It's only Chris.
No. Yes, that's really a guy, not a tranny.
Yeah, I'm here for the turf, not the surf.
Roast beef, anybody?
Oh, my. Well, we do have an announcement to make.
Yes, we do.
Before we get into the papers that are still in my box. That we will, from now on, be on at 1 a.m. rather than opening at midnight.
Yep, back to our old schedule.
We're back to 1 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, I think it's called Her Sex is the name of the show.
I haven't the slightest idea.
I'd have to pull it up in my email.
Yeah.
In fact, let me do that.
It'll be a woman's... so that way you can tell us exactly what the show's going to be. That will be starting here next week from midnight to 1.
Whatever.
He's trying to take a vacation. So stick around for them next week, and we'll, hopefully in a little while we'll have some totals on you for the for what we raised in the canned goods, because we had a 500-pound drive. We had a little bit of controversy. Someone was saying that, you know, we just use the number that's on the can, and someone kept telling us, well, that's not weight, that's volume.
Yeah, I know.
I don't care.
But that's okay. We're going to run the numbers anyway.
Okay.
And a big shout out to Jim.
Yes.
We had a listener come
long-term
up to us.
Long-term listener who showed up, and I got to talk with him a little after the show.
That's good.
And I talked with him as well. It's really, yeah, it's really nice guy. I mean, you know, it's nice meeting the people who put up with us on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he dropped off for both the food pantry and for KPFT.
Yes. I also want to mention that last night, Friday night, there was a great fundraiser over at George for the AIDS Trouble Fund, specifically for the AIDS Trouble Fund portion of the Colt 45s. And that was hosted by Sir Christopher. It's called Pride of the Fallen, the Tribute to Those We Have Lost. So it was a real, really sweet show, bittersweet in places, of course. He had a silent auction along with it, and so I don't know how much he raised, but it had to be some big bucks. And I think this was his first show, as a matter of fact. So he was a little nervous putting it on, and GCAM donated something for his silent auction.
That's good.
Yeah, and... I went and actually bought something there. Go figure. Me at a silent auction and go home alone.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, but yeah. I had to... when we were at the Misfits Ball, I had to, pry you away from somebody to come down and pick up your items.
I know.
All right, I got the email here. The program is called Her Sex, Her Health, hosted by Dr. Alexandra... Samotas, who is an OBGYN... who has been doing programs with KPFT for a few years, it looks like.
Part of the open journals.
Yeah. This is her first program that's not an open journal, though she has pitched and done other volunteer work. The program will be a call-in thing similar to the previous program that was on before us, but it's going to be health-oriented. And she's going to have, looks like she'll have somebody helping her out with that, too. So...
best of luck to her, and like I said, we'll be having her, she'll be introing for us next week, so next week at this time you'll be hearing Her Sex, Her Health. And the crowd goes quiet. So,
lots of good stuff tonight.
Yes, we'll have the leather ties coming up, hopefully at the top of the next hour. And all the insanity that follows that.
Yes.
So let's see. Who starts off with the calendar this time? Oh, it's me.
I don't know. Wait a minute. It's you.
With this. Okay, with this one here. November 15th is going to start this one?
Yeah.
That would be tomorrow.
I guess it would be, wouldn't it be? Fall Harvest Festival during the month of November. We will be collecting food and toiletries, benefiting Resurrection MCC Food Pantry. Who the hell is doing this? Donations may be dropped off every Thursday night during the month of November at the BRB from 7 to 9 p.m. with Southern Country Houston. The Fall Harvest Show on November 15th, which is tomorrow.
Sunday.
Yes, is over at the BRB. Show starts at 8 p.m. sharp. That's at 2400 Brazos Street. Food and monetary donations are accepted. There is a silent auction from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And these are, looks like it's benefiting PWA Holiday Charities, Cult 45s, and Southern Country Houston. Please join Chance's Bar and candidate for Emperor 26 of Aresis, Matt Gill, for Steak Night on Thursday, November 19th and December the 3rd.
Surf and Turf?
Just says Steak Night.
Oh.
Yeah. But is that a lesbian bar?
For $9.50, you will get a 12-ounce ribeye, baked potato, two other sides, and a dinner roll, and a domestic beer or well drink. For more information, go to chancesbar.com or aresis.org. Oh, goodness gracious, he's really getting into it, isn't he? Candidate for Emperor 26 of Aresis, Matt Gill, presents Christmas Moose on Friday, November 20th at 9 p.m. over at the BRB. Matt will be accepting donations or stuffed teddy bears for the
Osito
Foundation at all my shows and events during my candidacy. For more information on that, go to www.osito, that's O-S-I-T-O, foundation.org, or aresis.org.
The moose part is the fact that most of your candidates have a animal and a jewel and then a whole bunch of other crap of what they call are going to call their reign if they succeed. So in aresis, you have the candidates for emperor. One is a moose, one is a falcon, and the empress is a dolphin.
And it looks like Matt's hit me up again here. Candidate for Emperor 26 of Aresis, Matt Gill, also presents Louis 85 Card and Farkle Tournament. Oh my God, I've actually played that game on Facebook.
Farkle.
It's an interesting game, I'll tell you that much. This is going to take place.
Like a game played in Oz.
It's actually kind of fun. Hard to play, but fun. This is going to take place on Saturday, November 21st from 2 p.m. until whenever over at the BRB. $5 buy-in for each game. Top three winners from each game will win prizes. Again, this is all benefiting all our usual suspects, which is Legacy, Hatch, and Kimberly Ann O'Neill.
Scholarship fund.
Yeah. Okay. And my last one, Houston Transgender Unity Committee, Day of Remembrance event on November 21st, memorializes transgendered people killed due to prejudice and hate. The annual Transgender Day of Remembrance event is free and open to the public. Let's see. I'm trying to find the meat and potatoes here.
It's used as the Houston Holocaust Museum.
Yeah, it's going to be memorialized on Saturday the 21st at the Transgender Day of Remembrance ceremony at the Holocaust Museum, which is at 5401 Caroline. Doors will be open at 6:30 for the reception, and a ceremony will begin at 8 p.m. in the Museum Theater. For more information on the Transgender Day of Remembrance, you can contact Unity Committee through their website, www.htuc.org.
Hotuk.
Yeah, that. Next.
Carlos Rivera of Daddy of Montrose 2008 invites you to his show on Saturday, November 21st at 7 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. Come start your Thanksgiving week early with a bang, spank, thanks. Who knows what will happen? The show will benefit RMCC's food pantry, specifically their annual holiday basket giveaway. Each year, the church provides food baskets to needy families and individuals in our community. When he first started giving to this ministry, nearly 90 homes would benefit from these baskets. But given the economy and whatnot, the last couple of years, we've only managed to give away about 70 baskets. Each basket is valued at approximately $65, and he'll be sponsoring one basket and his goal to raise enough money to sponsor at least 10 of them. Non-perishable food items will also be collected at the show. The show is open to all performers. I'm sure there will be some daddies to give you a little love tap and boys who will love to take a swing at. This is Carlos Rivera, Daddy of Montrose 2008, HAV Triad, Playboy Bunny Reject Emeritus. He was the original Playboy Bunny. The Bayou Bunch, 2009 2010 concert series. It's the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston and the Bayou City's Women's Chorus, and of course the combined Bayou City Chorale. First event is Winter Light. That's the Bayou City Women's Chorus at Unity Church on December 5th and 8th. And a Twisted Holiday by the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston on December 15th at Jones Hall. And we're going to try and get some of those people in here soon to talk about that. For more information, check out BayouCityPerformingArts.org. Hey man, wake up, improve your life, improve your world. It's time to take a new look at the world and take a look at your life and make a clear choice to improve them both. The Mankind Project is a nonprofit organization that conducts personal development trainings for men all around the world. Their trainings challenge men to develop their abilities as leaders, fathers, partners, husbands, sons, and elders in order to offer the deepest gifts in service to the world. For more information, you can go to mkphouston.org. The next event is on December 4th through the 6th. And happy almost holidays. It's been my pleasure to work with all of you the past year in various capacities via your generous community fundraisers and our work at Outsmart. Now I ask a favor. As you plan to make your holiday calendar, I hope you also attend the annual Holiday Extravaganza. That's a wacky evening which my cohorts from Kindred Spirits Foundation and I screen nostalgic Judy Garland Christmas special from 1963. Friends from the Bayou City Women's Chorus will provide special seasonal music, plus we'll have a caroling sing-along, a delightful raffle, and even provide you with a delicious buffet. Your $20 donation benefits the Fine Women's Programs of Assisters, Bearing Support Network, Houston Buyers Club, and the Lesbian Health Initiative Houston. She surely hopes that you will join us for this wildly entertaining evening of seasonal fun on Sunday, December 6th at 6 p.m. at the In-N-Out. This is put on by Ovarianly Yours, Nancy Ford.
Ovarianly Yours?
Yeah.
That would be Nancy.
Takes a set to put that on there. And if you can't make it out to the party, just consider making a donation to kindredspiritshouston.org.
Okay. That's it?
That's it?
Oh. Aren't the leather people here yet?
No, because usually we have them come on at midnight. We have them come on at 1.
Oh.
We tell them to be here at 1, and they... Yeah, we put them in a holding pattern until 1:30.
Oh.
Yeah, because we're sitting here doing announcements forever.
Oh.
And you come in here all shorthanded tonight.
I beg your pardon.
You usually have a lot more announcements than
Well,
those.
That's what I have.
Yeah, they're not putting out as much.
Yeah. You know,
it's all Jimmy's fault.
We got all those.
Yeah, I can tell it's
from that.
We're not, because a lot of the stuff when he gets on here comes off of the Louie list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of the people who moderates that list
and
releases.
You haven't been seeing it.
I haven't been seeing a lot of stuff coming in. In fact, you know, I had to actually reject two yesterday because I didn't see them until after the show already started.
Brother.
It's like, you know, they came in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I didn't check emails till 8 o'clock. And
well, you know, a lot of good it does to get something at the last minute like that.
Yeah, but then again, you put it out early and still nobody shows.
Yeah. Oh, you just never know. You just never know. Do we have any music?
I didn't actually pick one out of here, but I got Jay's.
You didn't?
I got Jay's
new CD.
Oh, good. Let's pop some. That second song he did, I really liked.
Which one was that one? Was that Shine?
No,
Shine was what I had.
Shine was the first one.
That was the fun thing. He gave me the CD with three songs on it. It says, you know, it tells me to pick what to play. It's like,
duh.
Was it This Is Love?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like that one.
We'll play that.
J.R. Snow, an artist you will hear only here on KPFT, at least for now.
At least for now.
Hopefully soon you'll hear him.
Everywhere. I don't know if J.D.'s interviewed him yet.
Oh. I interviewed him. Boy, it's pretty bad when you come to me first.
Wah!
But no, Jay is a local artist here, and we've had him on the air.
And that was so sweet of him to come tonight.
Yeah.
And
he was the first performer there.
Yes, he was.
He asked me what time to show up, and I said 7:30. And we're still trying to put up the banners, because we're running late, and it's like, is there anything to do? I said, I don't know. I think we're okay right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he actually showed up just as we finished hanging up that banner outside.
So, you know, it's... like I said, nice of him to come out on that. So we've got this from his new CD. We can get, you can pick up his songs on iTunes, J-R-S-E-N-O, J-A-Y-A-R-S-E-N-O. And this is...
This is Love.
Island, I am there, like a siren's call. I can't help but fall so deep, my soul weeps. What have you done to me? Though we're strangers for now, we will make it somehow. One kiss, one touch, I need you so much. We both let down our armor, and our trophies hit the ground. I will rest my heart beside you. In this peace we have found, like a siren's call, I can't help. Always. What have you done to me? Though we're strangers for now, we will make it somehow. You breathe out, I breathe in, touching skin on skin. My desire makes me weak. I find it hard to speak. You're coasting through my veins. How can I explain? Never share.
I was only 20 years old, he was a love affair. Soon became a humble home, wrecked with animosity. Took it to the bottle, and turned around and took it out on me. And I was just a boy, a scrawny little boy, a naive, faggot little boy. It's been so good to me, taught me things about the soul. Pain is just an error in thought that I'm in full control. Glad I started long ago, learning the hardest way. So now I know my power, and that bullshit would never fly today. And I was just a boy, boy. I let you own that little boy. Might have been too young to see, but the fuss you made of me, 'cause you were reliable, certifiable. It's comical when I'm looking back. Out of me.
Dead of night, all those faces. you taste it.
Good evening. Welcome to After Hours. This is the Leather Tie segment. I'm Daddy Bear Robert, your host, along with my co-host, Master Buzz, who looks like he's getting a coffee refill at the moment, and Baby Bear as well. He's here tonight. We'll be listening to NXS, Michael Hutchins, all night because I'm in an NXS mood. So I brought some of the stuff that people don't normally hear. You only know two NXS songs, and I'm sick of hearing those songs, so I'm bringing some other NXS for y'all to listen to that actually highlights how talented they really are and were, along with a rare one, Michael Hutchins' the only solo album he ever did. I found that, got that, and we're going to be playing some songs off that, too. So, why is Rod Stewart hanging on the wall?
Good place for him.
I guess. You ever get a stomach pump from that Mick Jagger thing? Wasn't that Rod Stewart, that urban legend, that urban myth?
No, that was Mick Jagger.
It was Mick Jagger and Rod Stewart, right?
Was it?
I've heard so many different versions. It was Rod Stewart or...
I heard it was Mick Jagger.
Yeah, whatever. You know, with lips like those.
That's been so many years ago, though.
I know, back in the 70s. Well...
Yeah, back when we were young.
About Mick Jagger's lips. It's a disgusting thought.
Yeah. We are here tonight. We're going to talk about politics.
Yes.
And the role that leather and BDSM communities play in politics. And the role that they don't play but should play in leather in politics. This is kind of brought on by Anise Parker. She is the first openly gay candidate to run for mayor. And if she wins, she will be the first openly gay mayor in Houston.
Not in the country, but the first...
No, the first one that actually ran openly gay and wasn't outed in a bathroom stall afterwards.
No, the first openly gay candidate for mayor in a major city.
In a major city.
Right.
Okay. As opposed to Podunk or Backwoods.
And I don't want to turn the entire show into an endorsement, although I personally endorse her, and that's where my vote's going. I don't want to imply that Pacifica Radio 90.1 KPFT is endorsing a candidate by mentioning this on the air during this show.
We're debating issues right now.
Right. The one thing that I really want to make a big point of is that this is a runoff election, and one of the reasons that we're having a runoff election is people out there, if you're listening, if you did not vote, you should be ashamed. 18% of registered voters in Harris County actually showed up to vote.
Maybe I should have brought Evelyn Champagne King. We could have played Shame.
Uh-huh. 18%. Come on, people. It takes 5 minutes to cast a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Standing in a line for 5 hours, but then...
No. Depending on your
actually,
polling
Actually, the
place.
Lines weren't that bad, but...
No, this time they weren't.
But I guess that's only because 18% of the population...
Hello.
And that's pretty sad, people. Come on.
So
I mean,
we
we're talking about your life. If you don't vote, you don't have a right to bitch. That's all I say.
We have a runoff election, and the mayoral race is the primary. There are a couple of other issues that are going to be on the ballot as well that are in runoff. But the most important part of this is our mayor. We have two candidates who are in a runoff for mayor. That's Anise Parker. Yay! And,
what's his name?
Locke. Gary Locke.
Gene Locke.
Gene Locke. Okay? These are the two people. Now, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I want you to vote your conscience, but I want you to get off your butt and vote. It takes 5 minutes.
And again, anybody that bitches 6 months from now, just like people that I know bitch about Obama or whatever, my first question is, you're bitching. Did you vote? Well, no.
Well, then
you don't have a right to bitch. Shut up. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
But I think the focus tonight is going to be more on the leather and BDSM communities and what they are doing in the political arena to make it safer and more leather-friendly in the political world.
Well, one of the issues that I think that we ought to speak about is the fact that we are not, as a community, protected by any kind of law. Now, I don't know if you can plug in and all by yourself figure out what I'm talking about, but you've seen, say, a flogging scene. Really wonderful. Both of the parties involved have agreed to this. They're enjoying it, but
it's a consensual act.
If one person observing it thinks that it's assault, they can turn it in, and the party holding that flog can be arrested and imprisoned for aggravated assault, because there are no laws protecting consensual play. So this is something that we as our, do we have organizations that are actually working on passing consent laws?
I think the biggest one that I know about is NLA International, the National Leather Association, mm-hmm. International. President Vince Andrews was elected for another term, but they have a huge project, the DVP, Domestic Violence Project.
Right.
And the Domestic Violence Project with NLA International, which also NLA Houston supports, it basically is trying to help define legally the difference between BDSM and fetish play versus actual spousal abuse.
Right.
And the big difference is what we do is consensual. It is contractual. It is a contract entered into by both parties, whereas spousal abuse is not. That is, it's like the one thing I always bitch about is everybody says, oh, if it weren't for the Marquis de Sade, because I did this one radio show tracing fetish play.
I was here.
And I had somebody call up and complain, oh, well, the Marquis de Sade is the one. No, the big difference, and I will not claim the Marquis de Sade for anything leather or BDSM related. This is why. The Marquis de Sade, what the Marquis de Sade and his people did was not consensual. They tortured and killed people for fun against their own, against that person's consent. They victimized people.
Basically, people would disappear.
And that, to me, is the difference between the Domestic Violence Project and what we stand for and abuse. What he did was abuse, and
yeah, back then in his neighborhood, people would disappear.
Yeah.
And never be seen again. And what was happening was he was kidnapping young girls and taking them into his little dungeon and beating them.
Well, not just little girls.
Torturing them to death.
He would pick anybody off the street, beat them, rape them, do whatever he wanted, cut them, whatever scene he was in the mood to do, until there was nothing left of them. And there's a big difference between doing that against somebody's will and being in a consensual scene where limits are negotiated, you have safe words and things like that. And a big part of what the Domestic Violence Project is doing is like trying to get people to understand the difference between what we do and what Joe Blow goes out and gets drunk on a Saturday night and comes home and beats up his wife.
Right.
I have to disagree, though, with the statement you made earlier, though, about...
The statement who made?
Me.
That Buzz made.
Okay.
About, yeah, I know, you can't see me. I'm sorry, you can't see me looking at who I'm talking
people
to.
People listening can't see, yeah.
The comment Buzz made about somebody being in a scene and somebody outside of that scene calling it
abuse. And calling the cops or whatever.
They can.
They can. But
and you can be arrested for it.
You may be arrested, but the charge won't hold.
No, but the arrest record will still be there. And that's the part that...
It actually can hold.
No, depending because the person who is being abused, or quote, being abused, has to be able to file charges.
Not necessarily.
I don't think necessarily they have to.
The complaining party can file charges. Even if they're not involved in that scene, the person who calls the police and files the complaint can be the complainant, and if they are an eyewitness, that is all they need, eyewitness to an assault.
But it's just, that's the same as saying that if... But a parent beats a child, the child's not going to...
Yeah, but you're not talking a minor. You're talking an adult.
Exactly.
Big difference.
How many battered women or battered men never file charges or never testify?
And they don't get prosecuted.
No, but
that's still somebody who does rape.
But that's still on that person's record, and there is a history that they will follow.
No, just because there's a history of an arrest doesn't mean that charges are filed against you.
No. There will be a history of the arrest and a history of you were arrested for
physical assault.
Yeah, but you can fight that.
You can't, yeah.
You can fight that because an arrest doesn't mean
that
you're
guilty.
But
why would I have to spend $10,000 of my own money hiring a lawyer and going through the court system to do this when what we did was consensual and the cops should have never been involved in the first place? And
I
that's
agree,
what we're talking about.
That's what's going to make a precedence.
That's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about, setting a precedent to prevent those charges from even sticking.
From
well,
the,
that's what I'm
from
saying.
From people calling the cops and the cops
if
show up and
happen,
say, no, this was
not,
consensual, then the cops can't do anything.
The precedent is not going to be there.
It has to happen in order to set the precedent.
Exactly.
I understand.
But, I mean, somebody who is charged with rape, if the victim doesn't file the charges saying that it was rape, they can't prosecute.
Oh, Lord, Virgin's in the house.
Oh, no.
Hey, Virgin.
Hey.
How old are you now?
Not old enough.
Yeah, you're not old enough. Get out of the studio.
Is there an age limit now?
Yeah, no. Not an age limit. But you do have to pass a Rorschach test to come in now.
And you better say it's a butterfly.
Yeah. No, no butterflies. No more eye carry. God, I hate that new commercial, too. A stupid
oh,
hotel
I was thinking
commercial.
The movie The Watchmen.
Oh, okay, The Watchmen. Okay, that I'll deal with. Yeah.
The first time he holds it up, says, "What do you see here?" And he looks at it, he says, "A pretty butterfly."
Yeah. Rorschach. He was the most interesting character.
Yeah, he was. Psycho, but interesting.
Anyway, back to what we were talking about. God, we get sidetracked so easy
yes,
sometimes,
do.
Don't we?
Don't
it's easy
look
to
at
derail
me.
Us.
Well, I think it's the color that's gone to your brain.
Yeah. For those of you, I walk in here, and even Merlin, he says, "My, your hair's gotten blonder."
He's been out in the sun a lot.
Yeah, well, that too, but...
I wouldn't tell you were in the other room and asked Baby Bear when did he bleach it.
Yeah. No, actually, all of my facial hair and body hair is white blonde, so the drapes didn't match the rest of the room, so I dyed the drapes. I bleached out my hair white.
And it's
well,
not white
blonde, well, it's kind of blondy. No, I didn't really do it white. I did it blonde. I didn't want to go Billy out of white. Though I may just do that tomorrow. I'll just go Billy out of white and scare the hell out of
everyone. Please don't forget the toner. You would not look good in orange.
No. Don't need the toner.
If we do two sets of it, if we double bleach it, it works.
Yeah, does that count as, like, spousal abuse if he double bleaches my hair?
Yes.
Yeah, because then
so
it would
So we
all...
can set a precedence, then.
Precedence. You keep saying president.
That's a C.
I said presidents.
It's
no,
not president. It's
I
not
didn't say president.
Oh, well, it sounds like president.
President. C,
excuse
not
me,
S.
I know how to speak.
And if he double...
It's coming out as a Z.
Yeah, and if he double process my hair, I'll be as bald as he is.
Well, it's only abuse if he burns your scalp.
Fire play can be fun, but...
I can try
chemical
to.
Burns,
chemical
no.
Chemical burns are not fun.
Chemical burns, no. Fire play, yeah.
I can try to burn your scalp if you'd like me to.
No, thank you. And he wouldn't have to try.
Burn your hair off. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, that coarse hair?
Yeah, my hair's like a Brillo pad. I'm one of those kinky, hairy blondes that grows out just like a big blonde Brillo pad.
Mine's not quite that bad.
So, honestly, the only thing I know that the leather and BDSM community is doing is what NLA International is doing.
There
with
is
the Domestic Violence Project. That's the most...
There's also the ACSF.
Yeah. But the ACSF, they have not.
ACSF.
Yeah.
They've had tongue-tied. They've had some internal problems.
They have had some internal problems, and pretty much everything that, because NLA International
was endorsing them.
Was working with them.
Mm-hmm.
But because of all the problems with it, they are concentrated more on transsexual rights and other rights rather than focusing on what NLA International was wanting to focus
right.
on. So,
and those are not unimportant issues either.
No, they're not.
It's just...
But the thing is...
The leather community drifted away from them because our issues were no longer important to them, which is fine. They wanted to narrow their focus and concentrate on something and get it done right, and that's good. And NLA stepped up with the Domestic Violence Project. And if you have any questions about the Domestic Violence Project... You can go to www.nla-i.com.
No, it's .org. .org.
And the mission statement for the Domestic Violence Project is there.
Yes, just click the link. It will take you to the Domestic Violence Project website, because they have an actual separate website for the Domestic Violence Project,
right.
explaining the mission statement there, explaining what they're doing.
I believe you can request that your email address be added to a list to get regular updates from the Domestic Violence Project.
Yes, you can.
I was going to say that I think it's sometimes better to more define what you're fighting for, because obviously what we're looking at with healthcare reform, if they would have done that in the first place, we probably would have had something on already on the books.
Right.
We're getting there.
Well, see, that's the thing
healthcare
that I...
passed the House.
Well, I think the problem that we have is the leather communities and the BDSM communities do not mobilize, and they don't work together very well.
No.
And
that's the biggest problem with our community.
Well, pretty much with any subculture. But the problem with that is NLA International is doing all this work, and none of the other organizations are stepping up and getting behind it and adding their two cents and getting out there and spreading the word. There's really no political statement from the leather and BDSM world.
That's because they're so closeted.
Well, as
a lot of them are, yes.
As leather slash fetish people, we are considered, in the gay community, we are considered the bastard, red-headed, crippled stepchildren that you set up into the tower when you have guests over and hide from company.
Right.
Just like,
and
just
yet
like
if it
when
weren't
we first
for the,
started with gay rights,
and if it,
it
weren't
was
for,
the same thing.
Right, and if it weren't for the drag queens and the leather people, you would have no rights because Stonewall would never have happened.
Exactly.
Because it was the drag queens and the leather fags that did all the work for you.
In particular, one loudmouth Puerto Rican drag queen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you've never have actually seen this, there is a great documentary called The Cockettes. They are a drag comedy group that began back in the 60s. But they do, a lot of the Cockettes were actually there during Stonewall, and they do document this very well in that documentary. So check that out if you haven't seen it, because it's really interesting. And it really does show how far we have come with gay rights, and we've got a long way to go, but...
There's actually a book on Stonewall that's titled Stonewall, and it's a history of it written by the people who were there.
These are all the people that they interviewed in this documentary, so if reading is not your thing, get the Cockettes movie. I think they've actually turned Stonewall into a documentary. I've seen it. I've seen a couple of different documentaries on Stonewall.
Oh, I read that book, and the drag queen who got mad enough to get it all started.
Oh yeah.
In the interview they did with her, oh my God, I could see her doing it too. She had to be the pissiest drag queen you ever saw in your life.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know. Naomi Simmons was out there. Well, listen, we need to take a mini break and do a couple of PSAs. Then we're going to play some more NXS and Michael Hutchins, and we'll be right back after this.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy?
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science. And in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
The Pacifica Radio Archives is launching its Campus Campaign 2.0, premiering new educational collections in science, Latino Chicano studies, Native American studies, and LGBT studies.
It's exciting to look back because it gives you ideas for the future.
This year, if you donate, we will send a copy of one of our historic recordings to a school or college of your choice. The Campus Campaign 2.0, coming November 16th and 17th right here on your Pacifica radio station.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and 89.5 in Galveston. And as always, kpft.org.
If you ever want to taste it, go down to the wishing well. Poison in the well will make it. Keep yourself as strong as can be. Mm. All right, take you, take you down and tell you why. I said, woman, gonna take you, take it down and well, it's why. If you ever wanna taste it, go down to the ocean well. To the world, world, world. Say, love it hard. Gonna show the way. 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 Yeah. If you ever wanna taste it, go down to the ocean well. Living it all for the life. Say, oh man, what you see? Gonna change your ways, gonna change your ways, gonna change your mind. If you ever wanna taste it, go down to the ocean well. Taste it. Never look right or left, look ahead. I'm the healer, believe it. Gonna carry you to the end. Gonna carry you to the end. If you ever wanna taste it,
right.
Retina burn.
Welcome back to After Hours, Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert with my co-host, Master Buzz. Oh, we're all taking pictures of each other. Hold on.
While they're taking the pictures, I wanted to say to Anise Parker, Ms. Parker, if you're listening, my name is Buzz Lawson, and I intend to call your campaign headquarters sometime this week.
Oh, you can.
And I will mention that I am from Leather Ties from KPFT. I would love to get some material from you by email, or if I have to stop by and pick it up, so that I can assist with your campaign in any way that I possibly can. And I fully intend to do everything I can to get people out to rock the vote. So that said, we can go on.
Okay, good.
Rock the boat or rock the vote?
Rock the vote.
God, it sounded like rock the boat.
That is so 80s, rock the vote. That was 80s, right?
Hey, I'm old, okay?
Yeah, yeah. That's no, true. You want to talk old, let's talk Jimmy. Jimmy's old.
Jimmy's ancient.
We were talking about Stonewall earlier and gay rights and all that. You were, like, actually out of the closet back then, right? You were old enough? For Stonewall?
I wasn't far behind.
Oh, I was old enough, but I certainly wasn't out of the closet.
Oh, you were still in the closet.
Oh, I was a corporate queen.
Oh, so you were munching carpet and pretending to be a breeder.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't do that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I didn't.
He was doing it. He was doing that
He was tap dancing in the bathroom stall back then.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
That's where that whole tap dancing thing came from. You started that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I wasn't far behind. I came out in 72.
Yeah, I did, too. I came out when I came out of the womb. God.
I know somebody asked
you. Shoot, I was only in second grade.
I was out to myself. I was out to all my friends. I was out to close coworkers. I was even out to my boss at Tenneco.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those open secrets. Type of thing.
Yes, everybody knew, but nobody said anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it is at my job.
Yeah, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. If they ask about family life, I say my partner, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to sit there and say, I'm a fag, I'm a fag, I'm a fag. You know.
Yeah, that's
you only do that wearing flamingo pasties and a tutu.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But I mean, that's
I got to show you those pictures of him. Oh, that was great. God.
But you know that. That's not what we need to be doing in the first place.
No.
I was a group of people the other day, and we were talking about coming out stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, when did you come out? And I said, are you kidding? I came out of the womb screaming, where's the beef?
In 19...
Oh, now I recognize you. You're that old lady from that commercial.
Oh, okay.
Now I recognize
you. I opened it up.
In 1989,
and he threw me in.
Wait. Wes, what?
I said, yes, he did throw you in that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right into the back seat and left you there.
Yep. Uh-huh.
By yourself, even.
Wet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Soaking wet.
Covered in afterbirth.
Hard and wet.
In 1989, Ray Hill and I interviewed a half dozen community leaders about where they were and what they were doing in 1969 while Stonewall was going on. Every single one of these really strong community, GLBT community leaders,
mm-hmm.
every single one was in the closet. Wasn't involved in gay rights at all.
And oh, wait. We got our wonderful little staff photographer here. I'm going to take a dumb picture of him. He's always taking pictures of us.
Yes. Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Fair's fair. I got a picture
After
of you.
Our intrepid photographer is here. Yes. And then we interviewed a guy by the name of John Burgot, who was going to U of H at the time. He was like 20 years old, and he was like Mr. Gay everything. You know, he was running their gay group there and involved in GLPT. The caucus and so many other things. Yeah,
anything that's got the word cock in it, caucus. Yeah.
And it was just, you know, the juxtaposition of somebody who was 21 in 1969 and somebody who was 20 in 1989 was entirely different.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't come out till 1989?
I came out 1986.
Dang, I came out
before
you.
Boy, you were a late bloomer.
I came out before you. Not that I was a late bloomer, because I was doing the deed when I was 4 years old with the other little four-year-old down the block. I knew what I was.
You sound like me. Okay.
But I wasn't advertising it, because that's not what you did then.
Yeah.
No. Well, it wasn't that I advertised it, but I came out to my family.
I came out to my family sort of when I was 17.
Oh, well,
actually, they came out. They discovered I was gay, kicked me out of the house, mm-hmm. and never spoke to me again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got outed as well. Yeah, our housekeeper found a bunch of honchos and blue boys in my bedroom and told my mother about it.
Mm-hmm.
She quit. We had to get a new housekeeper.
Well, she shouldn't be looking at things that aren't hers.
Well, that's right.
I think she was just mad that there weren't any Latins and magazines in that issue.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, see, I was in a completely different major city when I came
out.
I'm
not trying to be racist. I did grow up on the border, mm-hmm. so...
I was in Seattle, Washington, and at the time when I first came out, I got, like, sort of thrown into gay politics because I was the first gay foster child in the nation to be placed knowingly in an openly gay foster home.
Oh.
With the Reverend Robert Sirico, who was the senior pastor of Seattle's Metropolitan Community Church.
Mm-hmm.
He being an activist, I fell in with the likes of Tim Mayhew, Bruce Paris, Val and Julie Valverjean, Annie Montague, some of the most dynamic, mm-hmm. Tim Mayhew, some of the most dynamic gay activists in the Northwest, and these were my pals.
Wow.
So, yeah, I got kind of thrown into the movement and just got steeped in it really quickly.
But, you know, once I came out in 86, that I jumped in it too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think moving here to Houston, it gave me a whole new freedom. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, that kind of happened to me, too, when I moved away from home. That's when I was able to...
Yeah, I had to move 1,000 miles away just to be myself.
Well, I moved, you know, across the state, so that kind of helped.
Well, no, you know, I love my mother. She's great, as long as she's 1,000 miles away. Mm. We get along great. We can spend about 2 days together before we start working each other's
nerves.
That's
all family.
But
I think I love my mother when I'm not thinking about her.
I leave it to you guys.
But where are all the activists now? I mean, I don't see any major figures like... where are the Ray Hills for this generation? Where are these people? There's, and I don't mean to be rude, but, you know, back in my 20s, that was when AIDS really hit.
Yes.
Back in the 80s. And... Yep.
And they all died.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, even in my 20s, I mean, that was a catalyst for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was
but
for
there's
me too.
No, what is the catalyst for this new generation coming up? These are the kids that are going to be taking care of us old fags.
Well, I think the thing with Proposition 8 in California was a real catalyst to a lot of youth.
Yeah, but I don't see the youth doing anything any different here.
No, well, this is Houston. We don't do that.
Yeah,
I mean it has.
And
to,
then
somebody has to be killed.
Okay, but I have to ask. I have to ask, Jimmy. Okay, this is Houston. We don't do that. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
We can't
because we're too busy partying.
We can't
and
ride them out of the bars.
Bar hopping. Yeah,
like I was just saying this earlier.
You
I
can't get them out of the bar or the bathhouse.
Right. Somebody asked me what is wrong with young gay males today, and my answer was: we live in a fast food, disposable society, and these kids have the attention span of a gnat.
It well, and it's too way. Hot at
and
then, Gay Pride.
And
those old people can't go out there in that
gay
heat.
Pride is not the only, Gay Pride is not the only time of the year that we
I
need to be
just,
politically active.
But that's
the
where
only
the
time
young,
people are politically
young people
active.
Are coming out.
That's the only time they come out, and they're not coming out to be politically active. They're coming out to be seen.
No, they're coming out to get free beads
well,
off the
you
floats.
Know,
you know?
It's not. It wasn't all that different in the past. The reason that ACT UP New York was so wildly popular is because that's where you can find a date. And that's how they promoted it.
Well,
they promoted the activism, but they also put in that, you know, there's a lot of hot guys going
to
be there.
I have to say that I never approved of ACT UP.
Oh, I did.
I loved it.
I don't mind radical politics, mm-hmm. but when it turns militant, yeah, I got a problem
please.
With
back
that.
Back in the early 80s, I went to New York to specifically to go to the ACT UP and to the Silence Equals Death Museum.
Wow. You know, we had to do it because
incredible.
Nobody else was doing it. We had a president that couldn't say the word AIDS. We had
exactly.
to march
yeah.
in the streets.
Exactly. And he was from friggin'
like
Hollywood.
And that's what ACT UP was great at. It got the attention so that then the politicos, you know, our caucus people could step in and...
I don't think that kind of radicalism would work today, I don't see anything happening.
I fully support
today.
Radical activism, but ACT UP got militant.
Yeah.
Militant, not radical, militant. They were destroying things.
Yep.
Well, I don't approve of that, never have and never will.
How do you gonna think you're going
to
get noticed?
I'm sorry, but if it's bad fashion or bad decor, you have a right to destroy it. If they're wearing white shoes after Labor Day, go cereal mom on them and kill them with a ham hock. I mean, you know, or a telephone.
We have become the gay political fashion police.
Yeah. Wow. Wes is like, I can see Wes wants to say something, but he's biting his tongue. I'm seeing blood on your tooth.
Well, I actually had a point.
Cleverly hidden by your hair, dear.
Thank you very much. But besides that one, something that I read a long time ago, and if I could remember the name of the book, and I can't right off the top of my head, but it was something that was very profound to me at the time that I read it. And I think about it every once in a while, and I'm like, especially when topics like this come up. When we talk about politics and gay life and what are we doing to help further our causes and try to get try to strive for the equalities that we're wanting, i.e. equality in marriage, equality in the way we're...
I think the biggest problem
But the thing that was pointed out, that was profound to me was, look at all these different parties that happen around the United States. The White Party, the Blue Party, the Red Party, all these different parties. There are 52 different parties that happen every year.
Circuit parties.
Circuit parties.
Yeah. Well, not just circuit parties, but you also have like TBRU, Bear Rendezvous, yeah, Louis Weekend, things like that.
But all these, specifically at the time that this was written, it was specifically targeted towards the circuit parties,
right?
The white, the blue, and all
that. The black party, the black and white party.
Oh yeah, and they all released their little albums with their DJs.
Exactly. But for each of the individuals that go to these parties, because there's some people that go to, if not all, more than half.
Yeah. And they'll travel around the country following
that. They will. And they spend hundreds of dollars
to
go to these parties. Dollars.
Yeah. But get them to spend $20 to support a candidate
if you walk up to them and say, instead of going to this party, why don't you take the money that you would use for this party and put it towards a cause to help further what we're looking for, instead of spending the money on this party and giving the other side ammunition, saying, this is what we do all the time.
Okay, I'll take this a step further. Instead of railing on the circuit parties, these are parties where thousands of people are gathered.
Yeah.
Why are we not using them as a venue to get the information out?
That was another point that was in this article, too. And basically what it boils down to, because the guy that wrote this book, he actually wrote it in two parts. One part was focused on family. Not family in the traditional sense, but just family.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, pink, yellow, blue, or green.
Yeah, we're
matter.
Redefining family in this century.
And the second part was dealing with all these parties. And he actually went to a few of these parties just to see what was going on and to write the book in a great perspective. And it was just mind-blowing, some of the stuff that he wrote in there, talking about the drugs, the sex, and everything else that was going on at these parties.
Yeah.
And...
But I think the gay community as a whole has a very one-track mind. It's party, 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 because we're going to live forever. And, you know, if a pill or Botox can't fix it, well...
Well, we need to get over the eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die attitude, because if we don't stop the eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we will die.
But what I don't understand is the white party, a circuit party like that, I'll use the white party as an example. I was watching a program on TV last week, The History of Halloween. And in The History of Halloween, they traced it back to its Celtic roots and all that. But there are Christian fundamentalists that actually do haunted houses. Mm-hmm. And the haunted houses, they're furthering the Christian agenda, because the scary, you know, it's not axe murderers or, you know, Jason or Freddy Krueger and stuff like that. Basically, their haunted house displays are a woman having an abortion and dying and going to hell.
Homosexual demons.
Yeah. And they're furthering the Christian agenda, mm-hmm. The very right-wing Christian agenda.
And they're
at a haunted house for children. So why can't we take that same
concept,
take that out of context, and take that same context and take it to the white party and say, okay, we're gonna party and we're gonna have a damn good time, but let's get political as well.
Yeah.
Let's further our agenda with this. Why isn't ACT UP or any of these other groups out there at these parties
rather than the
agenda?
As far as I know, ACT UP is defunct.
Well, I'm saying something along that line.
But we don't have a cause.
What?
At this point in time.
Well, we do, but it's so watered down and filtered that...
Wait a second. Our cause now still is the older gay population having to deal with marriage. There is still no cause like when we were younger with HIV.
Yeah.
HIV was our cause then.
Yeah,
because there was a big difference.
You could literally see your friends being thrown out of their apartments, all their furniture stacked up in the street and burned because they were HIV.
There's
you don't
a big
have
difference
that kind of
now.
Activism now.
We don't the young people, quote young people, don't have a cause.
Well,
because it's not those people are not the ones that are looking at civil unions or gay marriage.
No, they're looking at next Saturday night.
Exactly. It's us who are the older generation that are wanting those things because we've gone on long enough that we realize we deserve those rights. There's a big difference.
Well, I think, number one...
We were fighting for equal rights well ahead of the AIDS epidemic, pal.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what?
We're saying
the young people now do not have a cause.
The AIDS epidemic really did mobilize the entire gay community across this country.
You tell me what
in a way that nothing else really did.
You tell me what the young people right now have as a cause.
It launched the largest grassroots educational campaign in U.S. history.
Right.
And that was due to gay men initiated it with the gay men's health crisis. We were the ones who gathered the information and made it public as it came out. We disseminated the information as soon as it was available to educate not just the gay public, but the public at large. We
launched the largest
information dissemination campaign in U.S. history.
Well, I think the biggest problem we have is the fact, and I still say it, we would have what you would call marriage rights if we had just not called it marriage. Because the minute you say the word marriage, that brings in religion.
Religion.
No, it doesn't.
If you would have said, we want civil unions, we want to be able to have our relationship legally recognized.
I have to take
as a
exception.
Civil union, if the minute you say marriage, you bring religion into it. And the word marriage, that's when all the Christian fundamentalists jumped up and said, ooh, marriage is between a man and a woman.
Okay.
Where if they would have said civil union, then the right-wing Christians wouldn't have a leg to stand on.
Yes, we would. We would have a leg to stand on, and they already don't have a leg to stand on, because the word marriage, as an English word, predates the first English translation of what we now know to be the Bible. It was an English word before those Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic words were translated into English.
And
there was already a word, marriage, which means that the Christian church kidnapped an already used word and claimed copyright and exclusive use.
They appropriated it, yes. But how many people are smart enough to know this? When they think marriage, they automatically think a union between God.
If they're not smart enough, then it's our job to educate them. I say we make marriage the word that the government uses and holy unions the word that the church uses, ergo making it appropriate.
The church will never do that.
Holy unions belong in holy churches.
The church...
Marriage belongs to the secular society.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that.
But that word has been appropriated by the right-wing Christian fundamentalists.
And we need to take it back.
There's no way to take it back.
Well, there's no way that's going to happen.
I'm willing to bet that it will.
I'm willing to bet it won't.
Exactly. And I still say...
Look at the etymology of the word.
But, okay, but then again,
that
by that same
matter.
Token,
the
let's take the word...
stupid today.
Let's take... Yeah, most people that graduate high school can't even read. What are you talking about?
If we...
Now, here's my question. If you want to play this word game with the word marriage.
Okay.
How does that word translate, the word marriage, yeah, translate into... a leather or BDSM relationship, a DS relationship where there's a master and a slave in a contract. How do you legally get that recognized?
That's not a marriage.
That's not a marriage.
No, it's not.
And but, that's what I'm saying. But and it, you, since it is not
that
a marriage...
a civil union, though.
Then if you have a master-slave relationship with a contract and you are committed to each other and in a committed relationship, but it's not technically a marriage, it is a DS relationship... You're asking the law to recognize what? Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Because then, say, if you die, your slave has no rights to anything, right. Any of your property, your Social Security, your whatever, your family can swoop
unless
in.
Unless I've got a really good ironclad will, and without the next of kin law, even an ironclad will, if one family member contests it, it's
no,
not
you
that
can
ironclad.
Write, no, you can write in your in the state of Texas, you can write in your will that if anybody contests your will, they will be completely,
taken out of the will.
Okay, here
not allowed anything.
Here again is where we're getting caught up in the semantics. If you look at the definition of the word marriage... A marriage is a blend. Of any two things, it is, the word means to blend.
I know, they use the word in cooking.
Okay.
So.
By pushing for a settlement for a word not used by our heterosexual counterparts, we are also settling for less than equality.
But I'm not just talking average gay relationships. I'm also talking the leather community.
I understand.
So, yeah, say we do pass the marriage law and gays have a right to marry.
Heterosexual fetish players are already taking advantage of marriage in their relationships.
Yes, they are.
Okay, so we make it universal and we can too.
Okay, but when you have a DS relationship, you have a DS contract, then you have to go get married on top of that.
Okay.
And what if your DS contract is a year contract, and at the end of that year, you decide to take the collar off? Now you've got to go and spend $2,000 to $3,000
to
hire lawyers
divorce.
And get a divorce.
Where if you have a civil union, you don't.
Oh, so we want all the fun and not the responsibility.
No, not well, no, not even that. We're just saying.
So we really
there are. Other,
so
there
we
are other
really
types
are trying
of,
to break down the constitution of the institution of marriage.
There are,
into a definable and in again, out again proposition.
No, what I'm saying is that we are not taking into account the different types of relationships in the leather and BDSM community that could benefit from legal protection under if you blanket it under the word marriage.
So we want to sanction temporary relationships with government protection.
No, I'm just saying that, say, that contract is for a year. It's extended for another 5 years or extended to a lifetime contract, but it's not an actual marriage. It's a DS relationship, not a marriage.
But we want the government to recognize that and give us benefits for it.
No, at least legal rights that if you are in a committed relationship like that and something happens to your partner, that you have legal recourse, that you have power of attorney. That you have,
you can have
for
power
your partner.
Of, you can have power of attorney drawn up at any time and give anybody power of attorney.
Right.
Now.
Yes.
Without a domestic partnership law, without equality in marriage, you
and
can
family,
already assign.
Family will contest that.
And your family can assert you're, that because you have
yes,
no legal
not power of attorney. Civil, yes, they will.
Not
yes.
Power of attorney.
I've been in the healthcare industry and I've sat there and watched it. I've sat there and watched family override somebody who has a power of attorney. I've watched it happen, and it does happen.
We're blood, they're just legally attached, not even legally attached. They're,
exactly.
They're a gay couple, and
a common
we're,
law marriage
we're blood.
Doesn't constitute that.
But see, that's another thing I think that needs to change. Common law marriages. If a man and a woman live together for, what, more than a year, it's considered common law
no,
marriage.
I think it's 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, it's a longer okay. time than a year.
But
yeah.
You get two guys, straight, gay, whatever, that are living together for 6 years. Why is that not a common law marriage? Look, it's only a common law marriage if it's a man and a woman. It's not actually a common law marriage if it's two men or two women.
Actually, I overheard on a television show.
I want somebody to contest that.
One of the local talk shows on television.
Yeah.
An attorney talking about the fact that according to Texas state law, you can, as a gay couple, claim common law marriage.
But you still can't get benefits from Social Security.
No.
You can't file your taxes jointly.
Well, you can't file your taxes jointly.
Until DOMA is repealed, that's not going to happen anyway.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. And there's actually, I saw precedence. A precedence for this was set that two guys, they were roommates for a long time. They were both straight. One was getting married, moving out, left the other guy with all these bills. And he filed a suit against him using the common law marriage act to get him to pay his half of the stuff.
And won.
And won.
Hello?
So, I mean, that did set a precedence, and they were two straight guys doing this. But that took years for him to do.
And it took years before he won, so he was already so far in debt.
Well,
he had to file bankruptcy beforehand.
Look what it took to destroy the sodomy laws in Texas. It had to go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And this may be, and I've told people this, we're not going to do this at the local level.
No, we're not
going to do this at the state level.
No.
We are going to be able to do it at the state level, but only by having something to challenge. They say, oh, well, we lost in Maine. I said, okay, look, yeah, great, we lost in Maine. But what you don't know is that defeat is a victory.
Yeah.
Because until we have something to challenge, there's no challenge that could possibly be appealed and appealed and appealed.
And taken all the way to the Supreme Court.
It should be a federal law, though. It should not be a state.
It's not going to be until the state says no, somebody files a suit, loses, it appeals, and
it's got to appeal all the way up to the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court is the highest court in the court of appeals system.
Yes, we know that.
Okay,
they are the final word.
The only way you can get it to them is by appealing, starting at the local level, the state level.
I understand that.
Okay, so until we get challenges, until we have something to challenge, we're not going to get it in front of the Supreme Court.
Right, but I think the federal government is going to say that we're going to stay out of this, we're going to leave it up to the individual states to decide whether or not.
So then we'll have a state like Texas that is so good old boy that we'll never get that right.
The only
way to do that is to literally take it through the Court of Appeals all the way up to the Supreme Court. That's the only way to do it.
So 20 years from now, maybe we'll get that right.
Yeah.
And I'll probably be dead by
that. The federal government has already spoken on the issue by passing DOMA.
Mm-hmm.
The Defense of Marriage Act is a federal, an amendment to our Constitution. The federal government already said something about it. You're saying that the federal government won't have anything to say about it yet. They're leaving it up to the states. No, they're not leaving it up to the states. The Federal Defense of Marriage Act passed. And until it is repealed, we are not going to have any federal protection. There will not be any Social Security. So until we get that repealed, we're dead in the water federally.
And
DOMA has to be challenged at the Supreme Court level. And it's not going to be U.S. Supreme Court level. And it's not going to be until we have something lower to challenge first. It has to go through the appeals process.
It's going to take more than one state to send an appeal to this. It's going to take more than just one.
Well, they'll only hear one case, and that one case will make it a federal case, and once it's a federal case, then the states will have to follow. If they want federal funding, they'll have to follow.
Well, you know, we have a governor that wanted us to succeed from the United States, so.
Oh, I know.
Okay, so if we're so backward and we have that kind of a governor, they're going to sit there and succeed from the United States for that issue.
What the Honorable Mr. Perry did not take into consideration is that Texas no longer has the legal right to secede at will from the Union.
I understand that, but he still sat there and brought it up.
Right.
That shows
he
his
was
stupidity.
Under the mistaken impression that we still had that legal right. Well, as a state, we no longer have that legal right.
Because we've been a state so long and that term has expired.
Yes.
But we still had a governor that's stupid enough to sit there and actually say that.
If I only had a brain.
Well, that's what was elected.
Yeah, I know.
I would play it off my phone, but I think it's copyrighted material. I do have the original recording from the Wizard of Oz.
Seriously, that is what the state of Texas elected.
Yeah, we know. We were there for that one, too. It was like...
If that's the kind of leadership we're going to have... Nothing will ever pass.
Well, if we don't get to the polls, we don't have a choice, do we?
No.
Therein lies my point. People, get off your butts and get to the polls and cast your vote.
People will vote for a state election or a federal election
before they'll vote
for a local.
You need to vote in every one of them.
These elections won't affect
your lives.
Yeah. They don't see that.
Because
the stupidity of people in our society,
have something to gripe about.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
If you're going to gripe, vote.
Yeah.
If you're not going to vote, don't gripe.
Yeah. As I was saying, you don't have a right to bitch if you don't vote. But how do you get them out there to vote? How do you get them out of the bars and into a voting booth?
You know, they're hung over, you know, from the night before.
In the parking lot. I don't know.
Oh, that would be illegal.
Nuh-uh, as long as you're 50 feet away or more.
No, it would be illegal because they would be classified as being under the influence.
Yes,
they would not be allowed to vote.
That's true.
But they set up voting booths in churches. Why can't they set up voting booths in bars?
Do it the way they do.
Set up a voting booth in the bathhouse. Tell them you get a free condom and a towel. You get a free locker if you vote. That'll get them to vote.
Do it the way the courts do for their coronations. Hire limos or coaches and run around to the bars and shuttle them to their polling places.
Yeah, that's
so they'll still be under the influence.
Yeah, because...
I wouldn't care, and they don't give you breathalyzer at the polling place. Trust me, I know.
It doesn't take them doing that. All it does is the person who is allowing you to sign in, if they say you're under the influence, you're out of there.
So we pass out breath mints on the coach.
Yeah, pickle juice and breath mints. Yeah, that'll kill the smell of any alcohol in your breath. You just need a teaspoon of pickle juice and an Altoid.
But honestly, people, I mean, it doesn't matter where your polling place is. It's like maybe an hour out of your day once a year.
An hour out of your day that could change your entire life.
Exactly.
And make your life better.
I mean, our governor,
I think that's worth it.
Our mayor is on a 2-year term, yes? The mayor's office is 2 or 4 year?
It's 2.
2.
It's
yeah.
4 years?
It's 4.
It's 4 years?
No, it's 2. They get 2 2-year terms.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mayor White is ending his second term as governor, or as mayor.
Mayor, yeah.
It's 2 2-year terms. Okay, for 1 hour of your time...
Every two years, you
can vote for the candidate of your choice to sit in that seat for 2 years and be your mayor. But if you don't go and cast your vote for that person, they don't have your vote to win on. And yes, one vote added to one vote added to one vote counts. Honestly, people, you know who I support. I've already said so. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I would encourage you to avail yourself of all of the available material so that you can make an informed vote. But whatever you do, whoever you decide to vote for, get off your butt and vote. It's not work, people. It's not rocket science.
Well, and the city comptroller job is also something very important at this point in time, too.
Yes. And I know who I'm voting for that one.
What's up, Wes?
While y'all were talking, I was looking for something that I read the other day, but I didn't find it. But I did find this that kind of was interesting in some of my reading here. Because on Facebook, I'm part of Legalize Gay, period.
Facebook.
Yeah. This particular group that I'm a part of actually puts out a lot of great articles. Or they find them and repost them. From the original article. But this one paragraph just kind of jumped out at me just now. Here's the real dilemma. People have no constitutional right to have the state adopt their religious definition of marriage, quote unquote. Although they may have strong religious identification with the word has had a long secular meaning and indeed has never belonged to any particular religion or even to religion generally. Marriage, quote-unquote, in our society is a secular term. It may coincide with religious beliefs, but in the law, it is not religious, is not a religious concept, nor could it be. Religious organizations and individuals are authorized to officiate at weddings, but the legal concept of marriage is entirely secular. The phrase, by the power invested in me by the state, is revealing. It is the state that bestows legal recognition to the marriage, not the religion.
Yeah, but see, that's our argument. But that is our argument that the religious right are appropriating the word to further an anti-gay agenda.
This the Christian right are the ones who are controlling government.
Well, in those churches where they're performing these marriages, they are performing a civil ceremony.
But you cannot get elected if you don't state your position on God and that you're a Catholic or Presbyterian or a Lutheran.
Guys, let me go ahead and say that this did come out of the Huffington Post, the November 15th edition, talking about same-sex marriage and the meaning of words.
I can't stand her accent, but I love the way she writes. One thing I love about Arianna Huffington is that she is brutally honest. So
I don't mind her accent.
I just wish I could figure out what the hell her accent is. I mean, what is she? French, Italian, Spanish, German? What is she?
German.
Huffington?
Mm-hmm.
No, but I mean, her accent does not match her name. Okay?
Is it perhaps Welsh?
No, her accent's too severe.
It's too strong.
I mean, when she starts talking fast, she can barely understand her.
Is she married?
The Huffington, I think, is her married name.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, because English name. Because
she's got a German accent.
Oh.
That's a German accent.
German, Czechoslovakian, Polish.
Some Germanic language, okay?
Yes, there you go.
Eastern European.
Czechs. Wheat Czechs. Corn Czechs. Rice Czechs. Czechs.
I'd like a Czech.
That's all about it. Like the YouTube. Somebody says, well, did you see on YouTube? They go, whoa, wait a minute. YouTube, MeTube, HeTube, SheTube, TheyTube, Tubular Bells, I don't tube.
I'm sorry, you have no choice but to tube if you watch TV, because YouTube, MySpace, Facebook, that's all. God. Every time you turn on CNN, well, this is what we found on this blog.
Facebook.
This is what we found on YouTube. It's like, where did the real reporters go?
Well, we lost all the real reporters years ago.
Yeah.
Well,
they've all been replaced by...
ones just died, so...
Lou Dobbs is retiring.
Yeah, thank goodness for that.
Isn't that just exciting?
I'm actually a little disappointed. I love the fact that he was stirring up the pot.
No, that was red letter day in my diary. Yes, Chris?
Arianna Huffington was born Arianna Stassinopoulos.
There we go.
Stassinopoulos.
She's Greek.
She's Greek-American.
Yeah, Greek. Okay, that makes sense.
And we had two callers call and say that she was Greek. Huffington is her husband's name.
Right.
She divorced
British.
Him. Former California representative.
Because I was going to say, her accent didn't sound very Germanic to me. I couldn't place it, so it's Greek. Okay. That makes more sense to me.
Snuffleupolis?
Yeah, Snuffleupagus. She was born on Sesame Street, and she's the illegitimate child of Big Bird and Snuffleupagus. That explains her hair. Okay.
If you're listening, dear, we mean no offense. We love Snuffleupagus.
Yes, and Big Bird. And we
love you, too.
Although I still want to know who was the top and who was the bottom, Bert or Ernie. That's what I want to know.
Beaker.
Or were they both switches? Oh, we know Beaker was a total bottom. Beaker, now Beaker, explain to me that Beaker, was he not an absolute and total sub? He was a total slave, wasn't he? He was a sub. He needed a little collar and a locker on his
voice.
Neck.
He probably is a bottom.
Ernie?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always pictured Ernie.
I'm thinking Bert. Elmo.
No, I'm thinking Ernie. Ernie reminded me more of like a little bear cub, you know? Bert reminded me of the pissy queen that you meet in the bar that's had too much to drink.
No, Elmo's the bottom.
No, well, he's got a tickle fetish.
Why are you talking about Elmo like that?
Yes.
He's
Why?
Got a tickling fetish. Because you're a walking red hanky, but you only let us tickle you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest, Elmo.
The strange thing is, have you seen the guy who does Elmo's voice?
Uh-uh.
It is a very tall black man.
Oh, too funny.
And so it's really funny when you've seen it the rare times... when you have the performer with...
the puppet.
With the puppet. And you're hearing this little Elmo voice...
coming out of this big old black man.
This huge black guy.
Well, that wasn't the same one that was on CNN this week, was it? He wasn't the one who did his voice.
I don't know. I don't see that.
Oh.
But you know, they've done it a couple of times where you've seen the character. on one of those things. I don't think they did it when the
oh, no, it could be, because he's always one of the people on the show on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Oh, see, we still thinking, watch you're Sesame talking about Street. Gordon, what's his
yeah,
name?
Yeah, Gordon.
Oh, please,
yeah,
no, he's long Gordon. Dead. He was...
No!
Gordon Guy, he was, like, old when I was a child watching that
not
thing when
Gordon.
I was 5 years old.
Robert, please don't make him cry.
I watch Sesame Street still.
I'll bet you do. No wonder when I come home from work at the end of the day, he's in... Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
In a diaper? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I wasn't going to say a diaper. You're not the one with the diaper fetish. We're not going to name that person right now.
No, we're not.
Oh, I know a couple.
Yeah, I know. And we're thinking of the same people. I know we are.
We know one for sure that we're all thinking of.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. How you doing, darling? Love you.
Mean it.
Yeah. And the other one, too.
Well, the one I was just thinking about has graduated from that.
Ah, okay. He's gone from being a little to being a big, huh?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sort of somewhere in between.
Okay, so he's wearing he's wearing pull-ups now.
Ooh.
Yes, Chris, it's that night.
No.
Actually, it just depends what he was wearing.
I was waiting for that one to come out. I was like, who's going to say depends? That's okay. I call them grampers. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Old people diapers, old people pampers, they're grampers.
I'm a big boy now.
You do that so well, very convincingly.
Thank you.
You better be going commando tonight. If you're wearing pull-ups, you're in trouble. So, one thing I want to...
I see a little bit of a bulge in his butt.
I don't have anything in my pockets.
Oh, maybe we got duty in a diaper.
Maybe the pockets are bunched up.
No. What I want to talk about is one thing I have not seen in any elections recently.
What do you want to talk about?
Is I don't see any gay organizations endorsing candidates.
GLBT does.
That's the only...
The political
caucus. The GLBT caucus, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you've got the GLBT Chamber of Commerce, you've got the Rainbow Pages, you've got the Gay Yellow Pages, you've got all of the different social organizations from the Houston Area Bears, NLA, the Misfits, Colt 45s,
yeah, but there's
PWA, Holiday Charities.
Outsmart prints theirs in the pages of the magazine.
Exactly.
But it's generally the same people as the GLBT caucus.
Right. But they still make a listing of it.
Right.
You also got to remember some of those are being 501c3, so you have to be careful with what political activity you can do.
Well, there's of all the social organizations in the city, there are only three that are 501c3. All the rest of them are 501c7.
Okay.
And 501c7 is just social organization. It's not a non-for-profit.
Yeah, the only other one you really hear of giving endorsements out of is the Victory Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a national campaign helping GLBT.
I'm not getting anything from HRC anymore. Every year I used to get something from HRC about upcoming elections and issues. And I haven't gotten anything from them in probably 6 years.
No, I haven't gotten anything from the Human Rights Campaign in about 2 years. So,
and I haven't moved.
But I moved 2 years ago, so yeah.
Yeah, but I lived in the same address for 15 years and don't get anything.
Yeah. But
where are all these organizations that were supporting gay rights and gay issues and actually, where are our gay watchdogs?
Yeah.
Well, that's because everybody spends their money at the bar.
Well, no, I know they are out there, but I don't see them. I don't see anything in Outsmart profiling candidates. I don't see anything really in the Houston press.
There's the Outsmart one came out in the most current edition.
Yeah.
That just came out.
That just came out after the first election.
Just before. A couple days before.
They always
like that does a lot of good.
They
when
always give
we've known for how we've known for how many months that these were the candidates. Why was nothing done earlier than the day before the election?
You know,
that's what I don't understand. I mean,
that you would have to ask Outsmart.
I mean,
about.
To be honest, way back when Twit still existed and was in print in every damn
That's
bar,
true.
You had 300 copies of Twit in every bar. The one thing you could count on with Twit magazine was when it came time for elections, the minute candidates were announced, Twit was out there trying to interview them, getting their political records, printing their political, the way they vote, their political record.
And by the time the polling day came, you were tired of thinking about the issues.
Yeah, you were sick of it, but at least you were informed.
Yeah. You had the
because
information.
Because the minute the candidates, they announced their candidacy, the gay groups would go after him. So and say, hey, here's your political record.
I have to say, you voted no on this.
You voted no on that. You voted no on that. Why do you think you want our vote now? You want us to vote for you, but every time we've come to you and say, hey, help us, you vote us down. You vote down anything that has to do with the gay agenda, but you want our vote?
Something that we were discussing on the patio during the break is really, really interesting.
I think we've just gotten really lazy.
Something really, really interesting. 20 years ago, because of the political climate, we would have willingly voted for any gay candidate,
anybody,
regardless of their qualifications.
Yeah. Just for the sheer fact that they were gay, just to put gay people in office.
Because that was the push. Get gay people in office.
Yeah.
Let's pull a Harvey Milk. We are so fortunate right now in Houston to be able to vote for a qualified candidate who just happens to be gay.
Yeah. I mean, that is something that Jimmy was actually talking about that last week, that we have that different mystique now, that we don't have to go for, I guess the term had to be a pink dog.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the term yellow dog Democrats means, you know, I'd vote for a yellow dog as long as he was a Democrat. It's where those terms come from. And so, you know, it was a time where anything we can move forward to show more visibility in our community.
Well, I mean, to me, honestly, I think Anise Parker is probably more qualified. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that she's gay.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, I met Anise Parker back in 1985 when I moved here. Because, you know, a year after I moved here, I met Anise Parker.
Her political record is
and
absolutely
that was when she
amazing.
Was just starting to think about going into politics. And she was just amazing then. She's still amazing now. And she really is very qualified. She's lived this life for pushing 20 years. She knows how the system works.
She's been married for over...
Yeah, she's had the same partner for...
God knows how long.
Yeah, I don't know how long.
And I have to say, people, that I am really, really proud of this woman, not just as a politician, but as my sister in the community. She is not making this an issue. And for all the people who have approached her and tried to drag it out of her, the answer is always the same.
Mm-hmm.
This is a non-issue.
Yeah, well, I saw her on CNN. They had a CNN correspondent ask her that question about being the first openly gay candidate in Texas and blah, blah, blah.
And
she's like, that's not the issue.
But I'm actually proud of the other candidates not bringing it up.
I am too.
That impresses me more than anything else.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think if they play that card right now in Houston, that the backlash would be way too serious.
I don't know that Locke wants to play that card because the same thing can happen to him.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's talking to Hotzi.
I don't know. I honestly don't think it's going to get dirty.
He may not, but there'll be others who'll be pushing.
Well, they're already doing
it. Yeah.
I mean, the other candidates were not.
No.
We're not pulling that out as a
The call. Candidates have done their best to run a dignified race, with the exception of Brown, and I have to take exception to the attack he launched on Locke. That was completely uncalled for. It was the only negative campaigning in the entire race.
That's why he
didn't. Well, he also slammed Anise Parker, too.
Yes. But he went after Locke.
Oh, yeah, because he saw Locke as being the biggest threat.
Well, Why can't politicians run on their qualifications instead of...
We have two candidates now who are willing to do that.
Yeah.
No, but why don't we do that in all politics?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, right.
My qualifications are blah, 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 blah,
dream,
blah.
The bus is leaving for
Shangri-La in about 5 minutes.
Because really,
when it comes
down to it, it has nothing to do with the job that they are able to do. It's a popularity contest. You're voting for the king of the prom or the queen of the prom.
And unfortunately, we suffer the consequences for that mentality.
Yeah.
I get so tired of hearing, well, this person can't do this, or this person did this.
I don't want to hear, well,
I really don't want to hear what they stand for.
If you're paying attention, you already know what they did. You already know what their record
is.
But, you know, when it comes down to campaigning, campaign on your own qualifications,
exactly.
Not somebody else's lack thereof.
Exactly.
Well, you know, the easiest way to make yourself look bigger is stand on someone else's back.
Yeah.
Or face.
Yeah.
You just want to make yourself look bigger is to cut somebody else down. Yeah. That's why they all end up last-minute dirty
tactic. I hate to say this, and I know I'm probably going to make even more enemies saying it, but that is a very Republican tactic.
Oh, yeah. The
Democrats
do it just as much.
Yeah, dirty politics is dirty.
Please,
politics.
And I've seen.
See, already the phone's ringing.
And I've seen the independents do it as well. I mean, gosh, I remember when Ralph Nader went after.
I knew it was coming.
When Ralph Nader was running for president a couple of times, every single time he would attack the Republicans and the Democrats.
And Chris, I said it. Dirty if I need to, I will take the heat.
Oh, you will.
Uh-huh. You're the old one, so you'll always take the heat.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. All it's going to do is melt his denture cream.
That's right. His C-bond.
I don't have anything against Republicans that I don't also have against Democrats. I see both of them as extremist groups.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, but we're never going to get out of that.
Nope. The last time a third party candidate was elected president was Abraham Lincoln, and he was the first Republican president. He was the first candidate running on a third-party ticket to win the presidency, and that was the establishment of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
The caller made a very good point. He said, you know, the time when politicians will start running on their qualifications will come when campaign finance reform takes place and they don't have all that money to spend to throw the negative ads.
Okay, well, talking about campaign financing in this current election that...
That's a nice thought, but it doesn't go quite
far
enough.
No, in this current mayoral election, somebody borrowed $1.2, $1.5 million of his wife's money to run the campaign?
Yes. Yeah.
How is that legal? I mean...
Hillary Clinton donated a bunch of her own money to her campaign.
But that's her money.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not like...
It wasn't Bill's, it was hers.
I mean, yeah. You want to go take a loan out at the bank to run a campaign?
Okay, the thing is we can limit campaign funds... In some elections in small towns, you're limited to a certain amount of dollars, and you have to actually provide your receipts. No candidate can spend any more than any other candidate. Here's your ceiling. Don't spend any more than that. We can do that. However, we can't tell them how to spend that money.
We need to step
out. Yeah,
that's
what I was
going to
say. Let's do some PSAs. A couple of music, and we'll be right back with Leather Ties.
You're listening to Apple. I cut my mic off as I'm speaking. Brilliant. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
The Pacifica Radio Archives is launching its Campus Campaign 2.0, premiering new educational collections in science, Latino-Chicano studies, Native American studies, and LGBT studies.
It's exciting to look back because it gives you ideas for the future.
This year, if you donate, we will send a copy of one of our historic recordings to a school or college of your choice. The Campus Campaign 2.0, coming November 16th and 17th right here on your Pacifica radio station.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites MySpace and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. On Facebook, for example, you can connect to KPFT as a friend, join our fan page, and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley to Facebook users. On MySpace, KPFT provides event videos, updates, and a lot more. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. On MySpace, visit myspace.com/KPFT Houston. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio 90.1 KPFT Houston.
And when you're on Facebook, check out for After Hours. We've just recently added ourselves onto Facebook, and we'd love for you to join and be friends with us and find out what's going on. A little music interlude, and we'll be back in a moment.
Spirit is running.
again Wednesday.
Welcome back to After Hours on KPFT 90.1, 89.5 in Galveston. This is Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert with my co-host, Master Buzz Lawson.
Hello.
And my baby bear.
Hello.
And we are getting political tonight, talking about politics and leather and BDSM and what roles that the leather and BDSM play in politics.
We didn't introduce Elmo.
Oh, and yes, Elmo's on the phone right
now.
And on our break, we were out back
getting the boys to go-go dance on the tables for us and doing dollars for scholars, but we just couldn't.
There was some chatter around the station here that I wanted to make sure to make this point very, very plain. I've already said who I'm supporting. That is my personal endorsement. My endorsement is in no way to be construed as being an endorsement by Pacifica Radio or KPFT 90.1. I want to make that very, very plain. Okay?
The opinions expressed by Buzz is of a Buzz only, and usually no one else agrees with it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
However, in this case, I think a lot of people in the city do agree with it, but, you know,
well, it's the first
we are stating our own personal opinions, not the opinion of the radio station itself.
Oh, don't make me pull out my Carol Channing.
Now, we're out in the back on a break, and we got the boys up on the table, and they're doing their little Dollars for Scholars go-go dancing, and we couldn't get them to drop char all the way. And then I got mad because one's wearing really cute blue underwear, one's wearing red, cute pair of little red tighty-whities, and they each got their wonderful dollar. And I'm not wearing any underwear, so I didn't get a dollar. So,
well, you represented the white.
Yeah, well, yeah, but
the red,
see,
the white, and
now,
the blue.
Thing is, I don't wear underwear.
I guess there's clear underwear.
I don't wear underwear, but I told Jimmy he had to roll it up and put it in my PA, but I'm wearing a smaller ring tonight, so you have to roll that up like you were snorting coke back in the 70s.
Oh,
gosh. So that's, see, look.
Well, just, I never did that.
See, that's a tiny little ring right there.
Oh, tiny? So,
that's a little ring, yeah.
My dick would fit in that ring.
Not going to say a word, but does needle dick, that bug, mean anything to you?
There you go.
Oh, look there. I got a dollar in my PA. I feel better now. I'll wear it all night. When we go to breakfast, I'll tip our waitress with it.
But you got to find it.
Oh, too funny. Okay. Back to politics in general. The one
let
thing,
me smell that dollar.
Yeah, now. Smell that dollar. It smells like my wanker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby. Chris is just rubbing his head and going, why me?
Yes.
What?
And that segment was done just for Jim out there.
Yeah.
Who's listening to us.
Yes. We hope you like that, Jim. We still need to get those boys in here and do some more dancing for us.
I'm just rubbing my head because, you know, this could have been better a half hour ago where I could still go and get a drink or two.
Well, Elmo hasn't introduced himself.
You can drown sorrow, dear, but sorrow swims.
I don't think we're gonna have to call him Gelmo instead of Elmo. We'll call him Gelmo. So whenever you do that voice, it's going to be Gelmo.
Well, the fun thing is when I do that for my nephew when he was younger, you know, because he was.
Did he try to punch you in the stomach, see if you giggle?
No, he just kept looking around going, where is it?
You really do sound like that Elmo doll when you do that. Do it again.
Why are you talking about Elmo like that? Elmo don't want to do that. Leave me alone, Mr. Jeff. Leave me alone. Don't touch me there.
Oh, that was not. That was Clayton who did that last one. He was pulling his little boy from Neverland Ranch routine.
mine was a joke about when Elmo did the Frugal Gourmet with Jeff Smith.
Oh, okay, I didn't see it.
Who later got in trouble for
feeling up Elmo?
No, he was feeling up his sous chef.
Mm-hmm. Elmo was?
No, Jeff Smith.
Oh,
the Frugal Gourmet, the Methodist minister. Was allegedly diddling his male sous chef.
Wonderful.
Ooh.
Why does that not surprise me?
No idea.
Wonder if
Will
Smith does that.
Okay. New topic. So, how do we get the gay community and the leather community and the BDSM community to get out and be more active politically?
Beat them over the head with bats?
Well, the only way we're going to get any rights is to get out there.
In the leather community, all you get for that is a bunch of giggles.
Well, but maybe they'll do something if you tell them to.
The best way to do this, and it's not an easy job because it's really hard to pull people out of apathy. People who are apathetic are not going to vote. The first thing that you have to do is know in your mind, you've got to get it through your head that this makes a difference in your life. And it has to be important to you to be in control of something in your life or to exercise even the tiniest little bit of control that is offered to you.
Well, I think the big problem is that the leather community and BDSM communities are such underground subcultures, even within the gay community. But what I think we don't understand is the leather and the BDSM people would actually rally around the gay issue, the broader gay issues. We've got to get the broader gay issues addressed before we can even start working on the leather and BDSM aspects of the issues as far as domestic violence versus play.
I'm not so sure I would agree with that because there's a lot of BDSMers that can't deal with the gay culture of it.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of the straight community that are into BDSM and fetish play. They don't tolerate gays. But there are just as many that do.
Here again are divisions that prevent people from becoming politically active. The first thing you need to think...
Oh, it's going to be too much work.
The first thing you need to think about is don't think about yourself as a gay person or as a leather person or as a fetish person or as a kink person. Think about yourself as a citizen of this nation, a citizen of the city you live in, a citizen of the state you live in, and how these politics affect your life as a citizen. It is your right as a citizen to be part of the decision-making process. It has to be important enough to you to take an hour out of a year to cast a vote and let your voice be heard.
I think a lot of people get very disillusioned, especially like with the national elections because of the Electoral College.
I think
that is very disillusioning because supposedly your vote counts. Well, no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Because when it comes down to it, the Electoral College can vote whatever the hell they want.
And the Electoral College, it was established in the Constitution. So that's going to have to be overturned before the Electoral College is going to go away, and that's not likely to happen in our lifetime. So that's a horse that isn't dead yet, so let's not whip it.
Well, but I'm just saying that's
it until it's dead. Damn.
Well, I think that's part of where the disillusionment comes from because people in national elections really don't feel like their vote means anything, and so when it comes down to state and when it comes down to local, they think even less of it.
How many presidents have we had that were elected by the Electoral College and not by the people?
Bush.
Twice. I'm sorry, but I'm going to go there. Those were two stolen elections. The first one was in Florida, the second in Ohio.
Well, what I want to say is not too long ago, if we're talking about gay rights issues and this whole marriage thing, it wasn't that long ago. It was in our lifetime when interracial couples were not allowed to marry.
Exactly.
A black man could not marry a white woman. An Asian could not marry a Hispanic.
The paradigm is not going to shift unless you get up off that chair and shake your booty.
And it was only those minorities banding together and marching and rallying and making a stink and literally bombarding their congresspeople and their local officials that law changed. But, I mean, it was within our lifetime. It wasn't that long ago.
And, you know, even then it was still you still had the stigma of being remarried.
Right.
You know, unless your former spouse is dead, if you remarried after divorce, a lot of it was not considered acceptable in mainstream.
Well, divorcing wasn't even acceptable, yeah. Let alone getting remarried.
Well, the divorce rate now,
yeah,
as recent as 20 years ago, you would not have heard the words domestic partnership anywhere. The first community in the United States to pass a domestic partnership ordinance was a small community. It was only one small city. It was Tumwater, Washington. The first city in the country to pass a domestic partnership ordinance within city government. The city government honored domestic partnerships in the benefits they offered their employees. Now, 20 years ago, you would never have heard that. You would never have even heard of domestic partnership. Okay, people, the paradigm is shifting. It's really slow because we've got thousands of years of dogmatic social mores to overcome.
Well, I think it's made even slower by the fact that we don't get out there.
Because we're complacent. We're apathetic. Yeah. We don't care. Let somebody else do it. No, you do it.
If you can't click a mouse to do it, then why do it?
Right.
I've fought that bit of, you know, with my years with Cupid Patrol, and towards the end of it,
oh yeah,
you know, I would go on the air here and go, you know, somebody tell me how many bodies it takes before y'all want to do something,
right.
And you know, seriously, I mean, and that's what I did. I said, how many people do we need to be strung up from the light post before y'all do something, before y'all stand up and say, you know, we need to do something?
I saw a political cartoon that had two panels to it. And one was a woman sitting in a rocking chair in front of her window, and it was a sunny day, and the caption was, "Oh, I don't know if I can go vote today. It might rain." The other picture in it was a political cartoon of driving rain, and women in the Muslim garb, all completely covered, all lined up. And men with high-powered rifles pointed at them, and they were lining up to vote. Okay, people, your freedom, your rights, everything that is politically sane about this country depends on your involvement. There are people on the other side of this globe who will risk their lives to cast a vote. What's your problem?
People are complacent.
Yeah, that's...
I can't vote.
I want to ask a question. Wasn't there something about a bill going to President Obama's desk about the Ryan White Act?
Yeah, it was reintroduced.
Yes. And it's supposed to be on the bill that's on his desk that he's going to sign.
I believe it's already been signed.
Has it already been signed?
Yes.
Do we want to explain what the Ryan White Act is, please, for people who are not familiar?
Go ahead.
You're the one that brought it up.
No, go ahead.
The Ryan White Act allocates federal funds for AIDS research and funding for services for people living with HIV and AIDS. There, I said it.
And it was in danger of running out of money.
And time.
And time. Their budget for the year was about to come up, and they were about to start having to close shop. And
The act expired this term, and it was up to President Obama to renew it, and he did.
Yay.
I think that was during his pro-gay week. You know, he did that. He did the Matthew Shepard Act.
Yeah, the other one, the Matthew Shepard Act, too.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that one. What is that supposed to be?
That's where they included sexual orientation and gender identity
as hate
and
crimes.
Disability to
no,
the federal
as hate crimes.
Crimes. As part of the federal hate crimes law.
Right, yeah.
But what they did is they took what was on there before of race, religion, creed.
But sexual orientation was not on there.
And they added the four new ones of gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, which is transgenderism, and disability.
Yay.
So see, people, progress can be made politically, and you need to pay attention because this affects you. If you want to know where your tax dollars are going, tell them where you want them to go by casting a vote.
Gee, Buzz, do you want people to vote?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
Are you sure about that?
And I'm not going to stop harping at this until after Election Day. So get used to it, people.
So, of the candidates that we have either of the two candidates in this runoff come out and said anything about gay rights and what they plan to do for the gay community in this city?
No.
And why hasn't the gay community stepped up and asked questions? That's what I don't understand.
I think that part's coming.
What? We've got a week?
No, we've got more than that.
What, 2 weeks?
December 12th.
December 12th.
Okay, so yeah, okay, we've got a month.
Yeah.
But all the way up until this point, those questions have never been asked by any gay community activists.
Well, I think when you look at it really... A city can't do much.
Yes, they can.
I mean, they can extend benefits to
domestic partners,
to employees,
and that's exactly. But that's going to that's important.
That's going to be up to city council
because the problem is you already have a a referendum that was voted on that, so it has to be voted out. So, you know, that would have to go back to the ballots on that one, because that was back, what was it, 85?
Yeah.
When they voted that, when the popular vote, the last time that that came up and was voted down to have any of that.
That was over 20 years ago.
It was,
times have changed.
It
that
was
needs
literally
to be
voted to deny domestic partnership.
Yes.
But, I mean, of what the city can actually offer in the way of a gay rights agenda and vote, it's most of it is smoke and mirrors. You know, what Gavin Newsom did in San Francisco about, you know, issuing marriage certificates is was nice and all that, but, you know, really he was doing it because he was exploiting what he saw as what the California Constitution said. None of that was really permissible. You know, the mayor in West Platte, New York, who presided over gay marriage ceremonies. You know, besides the fact that here in Texas, it's the county that controls those, not the city. So, it doesn't matter if we stack the city council with it. At the end of the day, unless you're a city employee, there's really not much that the city council can do in the support of gay rights that's going to benefit benefit you at the end of the day.
I can give some examples of some of the ways that city government can benefit the gay community of Houston, and that is in our established events, our annual events. We do have to rely on city council and the mayor's office and the chief of police to provide the security for the gay pride parade and the festival surrounding it, for gay pride events. So yes, we do have to rely very heavily on the city for that. It's a very expensive process, and the city council could actually vote to pull any and all support for it. And then we'd be kind of out in left field without any kind of police protection or, you know, blocking off the streets and rerouting the buses and all of that. That all has to go through city council and has to be approved. So yes, we do have to rely on city government. And there are anything that we do that is an established event, we have to go through the city to get the permits and all of that to do all of it. And so, yes, we do have to rely on
but
city council and the mayor's office.
We only have one established event.
Yeah, this is the Gay Pride Parade. That's it.
That's it.
But
that's
even
the
then,
part.
But so
even
is that not worth it?
No, but I mean, like when you go to San Francisco, you've got Folsom, you've got this, you've got that.
Dory Alley.
Why don't we have Montrose?
Gee, I don't know. Is it perhaps because we haven't had the support from our city government to actually pull off these events?
I don't think it's that. I just don't think that anybody here is willing to put in any work to make something like that a success.
Because everybody's worried about partying. Again.
Well, I proved that there was at least one person who was willing to do that, but I'm kind of a transplant anyway.
Doesn't matter. You've lived in Houston long enough.
Yeah, I've been here almost 11 years.
I've been here longer than you.
I've been here longer than both of you.
Actually, I have been here 11 years, almost 12.
I've been here 15.
Have you?
Yep.
Where are you transplanted from?
Which time?
Initially.
St. Louis.
Initially from St. Louis. Okay.
I'm originally from Seattle.
But then Kansas City, then
what about you,
Minnesota, then New Orleans.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, so I'm like the only one that was actually born and bred in Texas.
Yeah, well, El Paso. I thought you weren't born in Texas. I thought you were born in Arizona, and then you moved to Texas.
I was born in Texas. My
born
parents
in
lived
Arizona.
In, my parents lived in. No, my parents lived in Arizona. At
oh,
the
that's
time.
Right.
She squatted on the state line to see which way you bounced.
There's a whole other state in between those two. There's Texas, New Mexico, then Arizona. That's one hell of a state line you'd have to squat over.
She dropped him in a swimming pool. That's why his name ended up Bob. I mean, Robert.
Dropped him in the Rio Grande and floated down.
Evil bitches, man.
Yes.
I wear that moniker quite proudly, thank you. I'm a being in total control of himself. Call me what you will.
No, my family moved here 31 years ago.
And you weren't born here?
No.
Oh, Wes is playing cop with his little flashlight here.
I was born in downtown Seattle.
Nope, I was born in...
Bar?
I can tell you that it was located at 5th and Marion.
Oh, that's close enough to 5th and Main. That explains a lot.
Actually, it was kind of walking distance from the gay district.
You had to have a chance, huh?
Yeah. He came out wearing stilettos.
Ouch.
He traded them in for combat boots when he turned 11.
Right.
Actually,
and a blogger.
No, he stole his mama's combat boots. There you go.
I was about to say.
So with the elections coming up, I think everybody just really needs to think about the political agenda of the gay community as a whole. I think the leather community, the BDSM community, need to think about what we want and how to further that. And I think we all need to get out there and...
Vote.
Okay, thank you. But we need to get out there and actually get to these rallies. Start asking questions of the politicians. I don't think enough of the gay social groups or the gay political groups in the city, I kind of think they're not doing enough. I would like to see them do more. I would like to see the Gay Chamber of Commerce get up there and ask questions. What are you going to do to help the gay-owned and gay-operated businesses or the gay-friendly businesses in this city?
Hey, people, I got a really great little piece of news for you.
Vote.
I've been involved in civil politics my entire adult life, and I have to tell you that I've met some pretty hot people at political rallies. It's not just a bunch of paper shuffling. It's not just a bunch of speeches and hand pumping. There's actually some hot people at these things who are actually politically minded. So, hey, you might go to one of these and meet your next husband or wife.
And if you get the pocket protector out of their pocket, they're probably a lot of fun.
Actually, political rallies...
I know that's a generalization.
Political rallies can be... Political rallies can be really fun events to attend, and you're going to learn something. You're going to be informed, and you're going to want to go to the polls and vote because you're going to know something about the issues. You don't have to go to each and every one. When the stuff comes in the mail, most of the time I throw it out because I already know what I need to know. But read the stuff that comes in the mail, even if you just read it before you toss it out. But just at least get informed about what the issues are and get out and vote.
And then you can go to the after party and have balloons drop on you.
There you go. After parties usually have champagne, too.
Exactly. So you can have a party.
I don't want balloons that drop. I want balloons that float, because helium can be a lot of fun. Then everybody can talk like Elmo. Right, Chris? He's ignoring me.
No, I was trying to find stories for later.
Well, I was
going to
say... I
tried helium once. I didn't care for that.
No, poppers are so much better.
I haven't tried those.
Oh, poppers are fine. You've never done poppers.
I'm too vanilla.
I'm vanilla, but I sat there.
You're too vanilla. Give me a break, man. We used to get out on the dance floor when I was a teenager with a bottle of poppers and just dance until you passed out.
Oh, you didn't even have to buy a bottle. Just go out to the dance floor. There was always a bottle of poppers.
Yeah, there are 10 or 15 bottles of poppers being passed around the dance floor.
It's the only way we could tolerate Madonna's music.
The only way you could tolerate Borderline is and Lucky Star was if you're hopped up on poppers.
I forgot how much younger than me you are.
Oh, I never did poppers in my nose. My sinus is too bad. You inhale through your mouth. That way it doesn't stop up your sinuses.
But I was sitting there trying to do it through my mouth, and somebody hit my arm, and it went.
When I was out on the dance floor. It'll burn the hair off your face if you...
Yeah. It was Donna Summer.
Oh, yeah.
Anita Ward.
Oh, yeah. Hot Chocolate. Bee Gees.
I've thought of it, but part of me, Casey,
and the Sunshine Band. Huh?
Part of me just goes with my weight and possible problems with the heart and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're talking about something that's...
Well, they do have different grades of poppers. You can get popper light. You don't have to get like pig or quicksilver. You know, you can get the
poppers light.
Yeah, popper light.
Part where you go through those names.
They're arterial dilators. They're dangerous.
Yes, they are. If you have heart condition, what you need to use are those. What are those things? Amyl nitrate things that they give people when they're having heart attacks, whatever?
That is a true popper.
Yeah.
That's how they got the name.
That's how they got the name, is because they're in a little glass tube and you have to pop them, you have to break them.
Stuff in the bottles is not amyl nitrate, it's butyl nitrite.
Yeah.
And they use it to prime diesel engines.
That's why I burn the nose hair. That's where you get that trucker fetish from, just so you know. That's why you're always hitting the truck stops.
And not entirely unpleasant side effect.
Yes. Well, why don't we close leather ties and stop being so political and have a little bit of fun? We'll have a musical break here, and then we'll come back with Roundtable.
Sure.
So I want to close the segment with, do you have that one last CD that's in there?
Let me go,
or you can play the two songs. The final song that I'm going to play tonight is two of my favorite artists, which is Michael Hutchence, the lead singer from NXS before he died, and Ray Charles got together, and they did this collaborative song that's really kick-ass.
Mark your calendar, December 12th.
And vote. Mark your calendar, December 12th. Vote. Yeah.
Okay.
Vote.
So play the one song from... And by the way, we've been listening to INXS and Michael Hutchins all night. We've listened to Hello from Wherever You Are, or Welcome to Wherever You Are. We've listened to Full Moon Dirty Hearts. We're listening to The Swing and Michael Hutchins' solo album. And
vote.
December 12th.
And
I'm going to piss you off. On December 12th, I'm not voting.
You better.
I can't.
Why not?
I don't live in the city limits.
He has a... Yeah. He's got a felony. He has a criminal record.
I love it. I did that once when Anise was running another campaign.
He got all of Michael Jackson's Jesus juice. That's the problem.
I'm pleading the fifth on that one.
Yeah, fifth of Jesus juice.
I did that one time at a caucus event, and I made a comment.
No,
I wasn't going to vote. I said it in earshot of her partner. I said, I'm not going to vote for Anise. She goes, why aren't you going to vote for Anise? I go... Because I don't live in the city limits of Houston.
Yeah.
I'm just barely outside of it.
Yeah.
December 12th. Vote.
Vote.
And so let's close this out. Thank you for listening to Leather Ties and listening to us be so political and ranting on this. But it is important, so please vote. Next month, we're going to be back with our annual Kinky Fetish Christmas list, the top 10 toys that every leather person and BDSMer wants to have.
Vote.
And... we're going to close it out with some more INXS.
today. You can care all you want. Everybody does, yeah, that's okay, yeah. So slide over here and give me a moment. Your moves are so raw. I've got to let you know. I've got to let you know.
Well, there we go.
Wasn't that a pretty cool song? Yeah. That was one of the last things Ray Charles did, was he did that song with Michael Hutchins in NXS. I thought that was a kick-ass song.
Yeah, see if you can find some news stories in there. Just don't look at the pictures.
Don't look at the pictures, yeah. Don't open up that other tab. It's got all the naked photos on it.
No, that's the tab I'm looking at right now.
Oh, okay.
Some of our sources that we use for news and information here on the show do serve a dual purpose, to educate and titillate.
Oh, I like that. Titillate, yes.
And specs check, feet check, cute check. Okay.
The flying saucer pled guilty.
Who here is just quivering with anticipation at Levi Johnson's photo spread in Playgirl?
I am.
I actually have a story on that of... he was handling a gay man's hockey stick during the shoot.
I'm impressed.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
I don't.
We just want to see if he's hung like a moose or hung like a caribou or just hung like a winter rabbit. You know.
Oh, that's the Sarah here just be hung.
I could care less.
Well, okay, Sarah Strap-On doesn't count, all right?
She invited him to Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, like he's going to go to that.
Did you hear that, though?
No, she didn't invite him.
Oprah. Oprah invited him.
Invited him. It wasn't her. It wasn't Miss Palin who did that. Palin who did that.
I'm not going to care how he's hung unless he's hanging from a tree.
Actually, I just like to see it for the fact of seeing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like,
I don't care. A penis is a penis.
When you got to see Jamie Foxx naked, you know, that was a good one. He's got a big old schlong on him.
But I think the concept of this being the penis that almost brought down the state of Alaska.
That's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
It may have...
It shoots farther than her deer rifle, okay?
It shoots all the way to Russia from the back porch.
Yeah, that's it.
But, no, I mean, according to... Kathy Griffin allegedly has seen it, she says. And she says it's
huge. And we're going to believe that nut job.
I know.
Oh, do we have anything about Miss California?
Oh.
Has she had to give her boobs back yet?
No, but she's...
Oh, no, wait. Aren't they suing her that she has to pay for the boob job or something?
No. They did a settlement.
Okay.
Actually,
that's right. She settled and she was on Larry King and walked off the set and all that.
Well, the reason was because of the video.
Oh, yeah, her little solo porno video.
Yeah, see, basically, she went into the mediation with the Miss California USA pageant people.
And lied.
And they said, oh, by the way, we want to show you this little video. And apparently it was her scratching went out on her her own little cat box. Mm. And she was mortified.
On her cat box.
and also, remember, she said... Wait a second.
I was going to say finish.
Initially, she said that she was 17 when she did it, and her boyfriend sat there and said that she wasn't. Right. She was actually of legal age.
When her boyfriend said, you know, she was 21 when she sent me those videos.
You know, I don't see the celebrity status to warrant all this. Now, Vanessa Williams, she was actually Miss America, Miss USA.
Mm-hmm.
Was she Miss America or Miss USA?
Miss America.
She was actually Miss America when those photos came out of her in Penthouse magazine. And
they took the crown away.
They took the crown away from... This cow had to relinquish her title from California. Who gives a crap?
Right.
Well, it's funny.
Vanessa Williams, that's somebody who actually went somewhere and has talent and had celebrity status in the first place.
But I just think it's funny.
It's the hypocrisy of it. That she comes out, you know, she was given that softball by Perez of... You know, about gay marriage in your home state.
And she knew she could likely get that question because they're all given all of the questions before they go out there. So she knew that she may have that dropped on her.
And to go out and say what she did and, you know, then plead that, oh, they got rid of me because of I was exercising my freedom of speech. And that, well, freedom of speech is only guaranteed by the Congress. And you weren't fired for that. You were fired because you were told to go to this appearance and not go to that appearance. And she did the opposite.
Right.
That's what she was fired for, was breach of contract.
Yep.
And then she wanted to sue the Miss California USA for her breach of contract, and they wanted to sue for her boobs.
Yeah.
And they showed her the video in front of her mother.
With Paris Hilton.
She actually threatened
Paris
to sue Perez Hilton, too.
With Perez, I mean, why wouldn't she think she would get the gay question? I mean, he's a flaming queen. I mean, on his blog, he uses penises to rate how good or bad people are. So, I mean, what's the big deal? Why didn't she think
even
she...
Even if you didn't even look at his blog. I mean, my God. You know, he's the backup broiler for Burger King.
He's been a celebrity longer than she has, and he's not even a celebrity. He's not even D-list. I mean, he's like Z-list celebrity.
Is she the only human being on the planet that does not know that this man is an insipid queen?
No, Ann Coulter.
Well, yeah, she knows. She knows that Perez Hilton is an insipid queen.
Now, is that a perfect endorsement for Sarah Palin's book? Ann Coulter is plugging the book for her?
Is that
pathetic or what?
Rush Limbaugh says it's the best political tome he's ever read.
Well, of course, but Rush Limbaugh on radio
is an idiot.
He's a Mexican.
He's the best comedian on radio, only he doesn't think he's being funny.
I don't know.
He's not in on the joke. The joke.
Right.
You know, I've actually enjoyed watching Glenn Beck a couple of times.
Does he cry in every single show? I mean, he always breaks down in tears just about in every single show.
I've watched him sometimes, and it's like, you know, occasionally you'll get a nugget and you'll go, I agree. You know, I kind of agree with that. I did it one time. I watched him. He was talking about.
But then he goes off the deep end.
Yeah, he was talking about. You know, why we haven't replaced the World Trade Center buildings. You know, it's been 8 years now. Why haven't we replaced those buildings?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was with him to a point. You know, he said it's a bureaucracy and all that. Then he decided to go off the road and...
go off on a tangent.
You know, if they left it up to us, we would go down there. Americans would come down and storm it and build it brick by hand by hand. You know, we'll make another 20 stories high with a big target on top that says, come and get us. I'm like, okay.
I'd like to see him even try to get a building permit in New York City.
I want
to
know what drugs he's on.
Yeah, because he really needs to share.
He needs some antidepressants,
but when
all I can say.
When did stupid pundit opinion replace actual news?
Well, you know, that's the big controversy.
Long time ago.
You know, it's when you look at that stuff, it's actually commentary. It's not news.
I know, but they're passing it off as news.
But commentary has become news.
You know, there's a couple on there of both on Fox. I mean, Greta actually has some journalistic integrity that she shows.
Oh, who's that lesbian?
Rachel Maddow.
Her. I love her.
Shows.
I love Rachel Maddow.
She, you know, she has some journalistic integrity in there. You know, I watch Keith Olbermann, and I know it's schlock. You know, I know.
But the sad thing is, some people are stupid enough to believe this is gospel.
Yeah. Nancy Grace.
Just like
my God.
Nancy Grace, is that really Rush Limbaugh in a wig? That's all I want to know. I think it's Rush Limbaugh in a wig. He's got the helmet hair wig on, and he's just talking in falsetto. It's the same person. It's like that whole thing with LaToya Dean Michael, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nancy Grace, you know, if we can make her disappear easily by making sure that no other blonde pretty girls get missing, and then she would have nothing to talk about ever again.
She would find something, trust me.
Well, yeah, she talked about the two women that disappeared out of a Sam's Club. You know, some of that stuff. I take that stuff with a grain of salt. You know, my family, we've talked about, you know, this and that on TV and all that. And I said, you know, sometimes they'll give any idiot a radio show.
Well, no joke. The only ones I find that are actually any good are the ones that are purposely spoofing Daily Show with Jon Stewart and the Stephen Colbert Report, because they make no bones about being comedians about it.
What about
especially Colbert?
What, Chelsea Lately?
No,
Chelsea Handler. I love her. No, she's funny as hell.
The one who's on HBO.
Oh, Bill Maher.
I love Bill Maher.
Bill Maher's fantastic.
But no, I mean,
but they don't try to pass themselves off as news anchors and journalists. It's, they're not passing themselves off as journalists. They're saying we're going to make fun of all of this crap.
And yeah. what comes out of Bill Maher's mouth makes more sense than these people who plant, who say that they are making political commentary.
Well, when they have all these experts on to talk about the left side and the right side, they're not experts, they're idiots.
Bill Maher's,
you want an expert, get Bill Maher to talk about it. Hello. Get Jon Stewart, get Stephen Colbert. At least they're a lot more honest about it.
And also with that, when you see with Fox News, you know, the part I can't get is... You look through their guests, and the majority of the people they have on the show are the host of another show.
Yeah. Yep. But it's, they're suddenly so, experts.
It's so incestuous to me, you know.
Well, and shows that are similar in vein as well, with similar opinions. They won't have anybody on that opposes them because they don't want to look bad.
Well, except that milquetoast Alan Combs.
Yeah.
Who, you know, I've watched him sometimes.
Milquetoast. God, I haven't heard that word in a long time.
And, you know,
it's a good one.
I'm sitting there watching, and... They've got a, usually to make him look a little more masculine, they have a woman he's going against who is browbeating her with her strap on.
Yeah, I was going to say, she totally emasculates him.
And she does it during the show, because you'll even watch, they'll have the one camera view, and she'll sit there and keep telling, you know, hitting him on the arm to stop talking, because she wants to talk, you know. And I'm sitting there going, grow a set. You know,
that's why she has a strap on.
Apparently.
The one time I think I appreciated Cher the most was when she went on the David Letterman show. And before she was on that show, every one of his guests, I noticed that the only reason he ever had any celebrities on was so that he could sit there and browbeat them and berate them on the show. And I was really offended by that. And so I didn't watch David Letterman for the longest time. Then somebody said Cher was going on. And I go, oh, this has got to be good. She went on. He started to berate her. And she read him for filth.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
I loved it. I was riveted to the TV. That's the only time I appreciate Cher. And that goes to Coppa Pair. If you go on a radio show or a television talk show and the host starts berating you, grow a pair. Stand up for yourself.
Well, no, pull off your mic and step off stage.
She didn't even step off stage. No. She just dropped the mic to the ground and
that's true.
John, when his new girlfriend started talking about his children, he ripped off his mic and ran away.
Well, no. Little Miss California, she took off the mic and dropped on the ground, but she wasn't about to leave because as she left, she wouldn't get her little fee for being a guest on the show.
We need to step aside now. It's time for the PSAs. Push this button here. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
The Pacifica Radio Archives is launching its Campus Campaign 2.0, premiering new educational collections in science, Latino-Chicano studies, Native American studies, and LGBT studies.
It's exciting to look back because it gives you ideas for the future.
This year, if you donate, we will send a copy of one of our historic recordings to a school or college of your choice. The Campus Campaign 2.0, coming November 16th and 17th right here on your Pacifica radio station.
Hello, this is KPFT's 90.1 Houston. And I'm Deloitte Parker, Executive Director of SHAPE Community Center. SHAPE, shaping history for the future. For over 33 years now, SHAPE has shaped history by actively working with issues important to all of us. The freeing of Nelson Mandela. The freeing of Clarence Brantley, death row inmate. The conviction and firing of the officers that killed Otto Delaney and Byron Gillen, voter mobilization, anti-death penalty, police brutality cases, nutrition programs, legal clinics, cultural programs, all of these programs working to make life better for all of us today for tomorrow. For more information about SHAPE, call 713-521-0629. SHAPE Community Center, 713-521-0629. Thank you.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We've started up with Roundtable.
Queer Radio with a little more attitude tonight, but...
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
It's light for Roundtable tonight.
I like my attitude.
It's light for Roundtable tonight.
Yeah, there
we got a few people.
Got a few stories that we came up with there. Yeah.
Well, come on with the stories.
I like my attitude. It may not be popular, but it's mine, and I like it.
Let's have some more fun stories to talk about.
We've got some fun. We've got some more serious stuff.
Where are we going to start?
Oh, let's do Prince Harry.
Ah, Prince Harry.
I'm sure everyone will like
him. He's such a cutie little
I wanna
oh,
do
boy. Prin-
yeah. I want to do Prince Harry.
I would do Prince Harry in a second.
He's well, a somebody in a way did.
He's a little cutie, yeah. Oh.
Prince Ginge there. UK Tab News of the World reports that Rocky Bennett, a 21-year-old gay man, approached Prince Harry at a nightclub earlier this week and offered him a kiss for a beer. Said Bennett, I went up to him and told him I would love to buy him a drink if he gave me a kiss. Harry just burst out laughing, threw his arms around me, and kissed me on the left cheek. I'm not going to wash my face for a month. It was the best moment of my life. I just burst into tears. He's so down to earth. He's so crazy to see Harry out in Stevenhenge. It's not exactly the most exotic place. They went upstairs to the VIP lounge at first, but came down to the main bar. And it was about eight other guys, and security was tight, but I went over to him, and he was lovely. I told him how much I admired his mother, Princess Diana. I thought she would be proud of him. He seemed to be merry, but was still willing to talk to people. So I went to the bar to buy him a drink and got my kiss.
You don't call him merry, okay, unless it's a gay bar.
He's not nice. He's just gay for pay.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's it.
Gay for pay. If he was gay for pay, he would have kissed the guy in the mouth, not on the cheek. Was it his left or right butt cheek that he kissed him on?
The commentary from the Tola Road blog is, should have offered him a six-pack.
And a joint, and let's see where you went from
and
there.
And some poppers.
Well, yeah, I had a coworker once who was going to offer one of the straight Twinkie, another coworker of ours, was going to offer exchange him 128 ounces for 2 or 3 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, buy him a case of beer if he lets him blow him.
Gotcha.
Oh, wow.
I want to see that boy with a crown on his head.
Which one?
I do, too.
Harry? Oh, that'll never happen.
I was going to say
Prince William is slated to be the next king. Elizabeth has bypassed her own son. It's Prince William.
I think that William
bitch won't die.
I think William has been disqualified as well.
No, he has not. He is slated to be the next king.
Mm-hmm. Why would William be disqualified?
Because there's something about...
He looks too much like Diana.
No, something about a relationship that he was involved in.
That doesn't disqualify him from anything.
No, because he's been dating that girl who's
the only thing that would disqualify Prince.
She's a commoner, though.
The only thing that would disqualify him is if he abdicated,
right?
The lineage.
Well, she's got to have some sort of royal blood. I mean, Diana was considered a commoner, but
she had more royal blood.
Stop! Let him finish.
She did have royal blood in her, but she was considered more of a commoner. That's the main reason why at the beginning that people loved her so was the fact that she had that commoner touch to her, but she wasn't a blue blood aristocrat who lived.
Let's face it, that family needed some new genes.
They were really scraping the bottom of the gene pool.
They did history on her, and she had more royal blood.
Her father was Lord Spencer.
Mm. Yeah, but she was not raised as a blue blood aristocrat.
She may not have been raised, but she actually
that's
the ability.
She actually
had. Yes, we know. But what we're saying is she was not raised as a blue blood aristocrat, holier than thou, prima donna. She was raised as a normal human being, and that's why the people loved her so much.
She wasn't a royal; she was a noble.
Yes.
Yes.
So that would not disqualify William.
No.
But Harry, he's too much a wild boy. He'll never be king.
William's adorable too.
Yeah.
The heir and the spare.
Yeah, but the spare ends up, you know.
When I saw Prince William as a kid, when I saw both of them as a kid, they were ugly as hell. But, man, they grew up to be pretty boys, didn't they?
William's still the prettier.
Well, Elizabeth's father was the spare.
He was the spare?
Yeah.
I can imagine what the real tyrant looked like.
He wasn't supposed to. Well, because Duke of Windsor stepped down.
Yes.
So the spare, which was not raised to be a king.
Right.
Or queen.
Became one.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. You were. So
high. Yeah.
Yes.
Bitch.
He used to party with George.
Yeah. The first.
Okay. That one, too. But I was talking about the one that abdicated the throne.
He had really nice silver.
There.
Where? No, that was Prince Albert.
George the first. Silver. Hello. Okay, never mind.
I like my Prince Albert joke better.
Next.
I'm sorry, I don't understand that old-timer reference.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do it.
The hell you say, bitch.
Okay, I'm going to pretend not to know.
I didn't make an age joke during this show earlier.
Oh, well, gee.
Here we go. Ageism.
I did over at Tony's.
I didn't do a fat joke either.
Ooh. I did over at
Tony's. He did.
I did over at Tony's.
Oh. I heard it backstage. No, you were agreeing with the big.
I made both the jokes at Tony's, actually.
I just made the cheap joke.
Oh, that would be Stanley, huh?
Well, not. Well, he wasn't there at the show, so I had to point at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's your next? We talked about Levi and his Johnson already. Any more happy stories, or are they all sad?
I don't know.
Okay, it's time to go to a sad one then. Fine.
Oh,
well, here, this is an interesting. Go to Tampa. Let's go to Tampa.
Tampon? You were one of those?
No, it depends.
I think I heard about this. Oh, yeah, I heard about this story.
This is an interesting one of a Marine reservist, Jason Bruce, who can't seem to decide what defense he wants to use. He was getting clothing out of the trunk of his car Monday evening when a bearded man in a robe approached him. That man, a Greek Orthodox priest named Father Alexios Marikesis, speaks little English and was lost. He was trying to get directions. What the priest got instead, police said, was a tire iron to the head and was chased around for 3 blocks and pinned to the ground as the Marine kept a 911 operator on the phone saying he had captured a terrorist.
Oh, my God.
Police said Bruce...
Well, wait. What religion was this priest?
Greek Orthodox.
Greek Orthodox. You can't tell a Greek Orthodox priest from a terrorist? Really?
Well, he could be a religious terrorist. You know.
Now, police say Bruce offered several reasons to explain why he beat the hell out of this priest.
I was drunk and I was stoned.
Well, first said the man tried to rob him.
Mm-hmm.
Second, the man grabbed Bruce's crotch and made an overt sexual advance in perfect English.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, he's Greek. He wouldn't grab a crotch. He'd grab a butt. Okay,
that's right. We're talking
about Greek entry here.
He looks a little too old for a Greek priest.
oh, that's Bruce.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying that,
the target was too old for...
Well, the priest was also young. The priest was only 29.
Nice.
Then he also said the man yelled Abdul Akbar. Allah Akbar, I'm sorry. The same phrase used it.
Ouch.
You know, this is what the guy said. You know, this is what they tell you right before they blow you up. Police says Bruce told them. He's ended up in jail accused of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and was released on $7,500 bail. The priest ended up in the hospital with stitches. He didn't want to press charges espousing biblical forgiveness.
What's funny about this?
I didn't know Greek.
The article I read about this
believed in Allah.
Bruce is.
They don't.
Bruce actually takes his clothes off too.
This guy is like an idiot.
Yeah.
He's getting clothes out of his trunk.
No.
Hold on.
There's actually, I saw an article where, and they actually show pictures of him half clothed. He actually does different webs.
Oh, that's right. That's okay. I forgot about that part. The
target.
The quote unquote alleged victim at the beginning of this, Jason Bruce, who beat the hell out of the priest, also has posed semi nude on several. Websites with buff guys. Keep scrolling down. They may talk about that.
They may show it.
Let's see.
I've seen some of the pictures.
This is one of our wind up killing machines.
Oh boy. Yeah. But no, this guy has been. He was almost like didn't say anything about being gay. But, it only appealed mainly to gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Gay for pay.
There we go.
And he wasn't nude. He still kept his pants on.
Panties.
But there was...
In those pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, online photo galleries depict him flexing big muscles wearing little clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And little brains.
Hello.
Woo-hoo.
Does that mean small testicles?
I was going to say, what does that mean? He's not showing any box at all? He's got it tucked under like a drag queen? What? Tuck and tape.
Oh, my.
Chris, did you do that tonight?
Obviously, you haven't seen the pictures that there's no need to tuck.
Oh. I just thought I'd ask, for the fun of it.
I think he meant, did you do drag tonight during your show?
I did do drag, but I didn't have to tuck. My tape was around my legs, actually.
Thank you for that visual.
I bought
God, that was way Joan Rivers.
I bought pantyhose to wear.
Uh-huh.
And
you had to tape them to your legs to keep them up.
Yeah, because I pulled them up, and I couldn't walk like a mermaid because basically the crotch was still hanging about, you know, half thigh. And so I basically took a razor blade and
next time you know, to buy the individual legs.
Yeah, but I...
You bought the all-in-ones.
Yeah.
You thought crotches would be sexy, and they turned out not to be.
You know, I was kind of in a hurry because, you know, I'm in the Tomball Walmart buying pantyhose.
Okay, where do you think most of the cross dressers come from?
So, you know, I mean, I had the excuse already in my head of, you know, I'm going down to Galveston, and I heard there was jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you wear the...
You wear the pantyhose.
You wear the pantyhose to protect you from jellyfish, but then they go, well, why aren't you wearing nude? Why are you buying off black?
Because you went to... You still,
be more invisible.
You still got to look sexy for the jellyfish. I mean, come on.
So I...
Black is slimming. I'm overweight.
Well, I'm not planning on sneaking up on them in the dark.
So she said, yes, it was night fishing I'm doing.
Black is slimming would have been a perfect...
Yeah. But so I had to get them to stay up. They started to roll down as I had to buy, you know, athletic tape and...
Oh, no, what really ticked me off is for Halloween, Baby Bear and I decided to go with swine flu.
Mm-hmm.
So we got pig noses, we bought some white wings, we hand spray painted it and glittered them so they were all pink and everything to match the noses. I made t-shirts for us, mine said H1 and his said N1. And then we dressed in black t-shirts, we both had on, you know, black Davy Dukes and mm-hmm. black fishnet hose, and then we had hot pink leg warmers to match the wings and everything.
Wait a second, but the Flash final part,
dance.
Huh?
The final part.
What, when we got
combat
to,
boots.
Oh, yeah, with combat boots.
Okay. We had to finish the whole...
The pink leg warmers, hot pink leg warmers with combat boots. We went over to Cindy's over there, and we walked in, and I said, we need some fishnet hose and something really hot pink. And they're like, what? And I said, well, and he says, yeah, it's got to fit us, something big girl size. And she looked at us, and I was like, what? And I said, our Halloween costume, we're going to swine flu. We're so sick of every time you turn on the TV, you see swine flu this and swine flu that, so we decided to go to swine flu. And she, oh, that's funny. So I had to get the t-shirts out of the car and show her and the wings and everything. They thought it was hysterical. So we found the ample-sized woman's black fishnets. And we were going to get pink ones, but I was like, no, we got to get the pink leg warmers. That's funnier. Mm-hmm. That's so Jennifer Beals on acid.
Oh, yeah. Rocky Horror meets Miss Piggy.
And they look fantastic. I'll bring pictures in.
Okay. But
we had lots of compliments on our costume.
Oh, yeah. We were the head of the party, but the sad part is our host and his partner had just gotten over the swine flu.
Oh, no.
And we walk into their house dressed up like swine flu, and Master Rich turned around and said, get the hell out of my house. And Scott...
I would have said something like, oh, I am over you.
But, yeah. We walked, and I mean, everybody, when we walked in the door, they just busted out. I mean, Pixie must have taken 50, 60 pictures of us. She thought it was hysterical. So we went swine flu, but the minute we got there, not even before we got there, I was in the car. Get this, we're on the freeway driving in black pantyhose and, you know, H1 and N1 t-shirts, and the wings are in the back and everything, because you can't drive with the wings on. They would have crushed.
Yeah.
But the wings are actually still in the back of my truck.
And here we are yesterday we're going, we're at the
plant store getting some palms for the back by the pool. And we got to load the palms in the back of my truck. And here's these hot pink angel wings. And the dude's looking at us while he's loading the stuff in the truck. I said, hold on, let me move the wings. But so we get there. And, I mean, I didn't even get halfway to the place, and I started getting runs in my pantyhose.
Oh!
And they're the fishnets, you know, they're just regular pantyhose. So when one thing snips, so by the time we even got there, I mean, I look like yesterday's leftover hooker.
Like I say, Rocky Horror meets Miss Piggy.
Well, yeah. That's not a bad look.
It look. Yeah. I mean, the tear didn't get really bad until later. And I was like, you know, yeah. It's no worse than the the same fishnets I wore for the skit.
Okay, yeah.
Those were the fishnets we were wearing.
Oh, okay.
But, and I actually did the same thing I did last time. They're fishnet pantyhose. I had to rip the crotch out so I could get the junk through to where, you know.
Yeah, we get it.
And... So the tears just kept going from there.
Well, he was concerned that the PA would
the PA and the ladder and everything. I just didn't want everything caught up in the pantyhose like what happened last time.
That could really hurt.
Yeah, so I just tore the crotch out. But yeah, we were swine flu for Halloween. It was great. I think we need to do it for like Christmas too. When they have the Christmas parade down on Pacific Street, we're just going to dress up as swine flu again.
Hell, it'll still be around when the time Louie comes around.
Yeah. Next!
That's what I told him. We need to save the wings and the nose and go Louie Friday night for Louie. We can just show up as swine flu. It'd be hysterical.
Let's go to more Middle Eastern stuff. Yeah, we'll do that one. Three Iranian men face execution for having gay sex, reports say. International Rights Watchdog calls on Iran to halt the planned executions. The group also notes that three men were all under the age of 18 at the time of their quote-unquote offense. No date has been set for their execution yet, but the lawyer representing two of the men fears it could happen any day.
Mm.
The Islamic Republic system of Sharia law dictates death penalty for gay sex. Although there are only vague details about these cases, Human Rights Watch notes some sketchy court proceedings. Two of the men denied the charges and no witnesses testified against them, yet the Iranian criminal code allows judges to use their personal knowledge to determine whether guilt...
knowledge of what? They weren't even there.
Well, if they have personal knowledge, then they should be convicted, too.
I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, but we're not talking
personal knowledge, not intimate knowledge.
Look at where we're talking about, okay?
It's called kangaroo court.
And if you think the U.S. is going to step in to save these men, you're crazy.
It ain't happening.
No.
I mean, we're still occupying in Iraq, and we're not doing anything to help.
Well, I'm sure the U.N. might try to help and do something, but I don't think it'll be enough.
No, they won't.
It won't be enough.
They won't.
They'll still be in talks when the executions happen.
I'm still picturing a glass desert.
That was evil.
I like that.
Now looking at the same faith, different story.
Mm-hmm.
Islamic Conference says homosexuality is okay.
Right.
The Jakarta Post reported today that moderate Muslim scholars see no reason to reject homosexuals under Islam. The discussion was organized by the Erus Pelingai, a non-governmental group. Scholars say the condemnation of homosexuality by Muslims is based on narrow-minded interpretations of Islamic teaching. Siti Musad Mula of the Indonesian Conference on Religions and Peace said, "There are no difference between lesbians and non-lesbians in the eyes of God."
Well, you could say the same thing with the Christian religion.
I was just going to say that.
Or Judaism.
Yep.
Judaism is not as bad as...
Chris finish. Right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Valued based on their piety. And talking about piety and God's prerogative to judge, the essence of the religion is to humanize humans and respect and dignify them. Another speaker of the discussion, I'm not even going to try, said that heterosexuality is a social construction that has ultimately led to the majority to ban homosexuality. So conservative Muslims also spoke at the discussion, but they condemned homosexuals. Deputy chairman of this other group said, "It is a sin. We will not consider homosexuals an enemy, but we will make them aware that what they are doing is wrong."
According to whom?
Yeah.
More hate the sin.
I mean, it says in just about every Bible on the planet and every religion, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Mm-hmm. Who are they to judge me?
I can quote you chapter and verse in the Bible.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking Christian about. Every Bible has that same philosophy, mm-hmm. that same "judge not, lest ye be judged."
Matthew chapter 7, verses 1.
God is the highest authority, and God is the only one that has the right to judge you.
And the whole thing about judgment, everybody thinks of Paul as being the one who says that homosexuals are all going to hell. Well, get a load of this. Read Romans chapter 13. The whole chapter. Read the whole thing. Because it says at the very beginning,
I don't read fiction.
Let us not judge one another, therefore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. If your brother's a homosexual, then you better not trip him up.
Mm. Okay, but who wrote Romans?
Caligula.
Paul.
Paul.
Caligula.
Most of the New Testament was written by Paul.
Okay, Clayton got that. Good, okay.
But no, that's the thing is, yeah, once we said before, Paul never walked with Jesus.
Nope.
Yeah, he saw the help wanted sign around Judas's neck. And met up with the ghost of Jesus, and they talked for a little while, and he took up the job. And
they blogged for 5 minutes and were BFFs.
There were ghosts back then?
He was his first friend on MySpace right after Tom.
Here's his first tweet.
Which, I don't get. If they call it Twitter, why do you tweet? Why don't you twit?
No, twits tweet.
Twits tweet, yes.
Yeah, that's why they call it Twitter.
Yeah, we get it.
But then
you should twit instead of... If you're twit on Twitter, you should twit.
I am no twit. But did you twit? I'm not tweeting.
But did you tweet it or did you twat?
I think you twat.
Oh, no, I don't twat. No.
I agree. I do not twat. You only twat if your chances.
Oh. Right.
Otherwise, you tweet.
Tweet at JR. Twat at chances.
No, I think at JR's you twat.
I thought that was South Beach.
Yes, that too.
Numbers is the tweeters.
No. At South Beach, they don't. No, at South Beach, they tweak, not tweet.
That's what we get.
Yeah. And that's usually in a bathroom stall when no one's looking.
My whole opinion on the religion subject is that God is an invisible friend and the Bible is poorly written fiction.
Thank you. I'm with you on that.
Let's go Newsweek.
No, I think God is a giant jigsaw puzzle.
All right, I don't think he's an invisible friend. I've outgrown the need for invisible friends.
I like Casper. Stop that.
Newsweek reporter was recently on Fox News' O'Reilly Factor. He posted an article. It was written by this reporter is Ramen.
I love noodles. Ramen. I love their noodles. Yes.
Saturday, titled "King of Queens: Gays on TV Once Helped Promote Tolerance, But Now They're Hurting It."
What?
In all honesty, it's one of the worst articles of the subject I've ever read. The gist of the piece: effeminate gay characters on television are possibly responsible for the defeat of gay rights in Maine, California, and the general decrease in tolerance towards the GLBT community.
Are you crazy?
No, they're not, because I watched last episode of Ugly Betty, and her son is straight. He said so.
Oh, God.
Did he stomp his foot when he said, "I'm straight, damn it"? Oh.
He said, "It's just a big joke. I'm really straight."
In fact, I think their picture... Can you picture him further down? Kurt is the only effeminate gay guy on the radar. So he was talking about Glee's Kurt Hummel, especially in Troubling, with his fluffy Alexander McQueen sweaters and sings notes high enough that make your fillings hurt. Kurt's not the only effeminate gay man on his radar. He also mentions Mark from Ugly Betty, Lloyd from Entourage, Cameron and Mitchell from Modern Family. Then moves into reality television, citing dozens of squealing contestants on Project Runway. Even Alan Lambert gets a mention as someone potentially troublesome for the gay community. Scroll back up again. Is that Alex? Oh, no. Lloyd from Entourage. I thought that was Alex Marpa. It's a recent survey by the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation that found amongst those folks who say they have feelings about gays and lesbians have improved over the past 5 years, nearly one-third said it's at least partially due to a gay characters they saw on TV. If that may be changing now that there are so many Kurt Hummels and Christian Serranos on our television screens. Is that why voters in Maine voted to repeal gay marriage there?
That's so stupid. And, if they were just everyday average gay people that weren't effeminate, they weren't hyper-masculine, they weren't muscle bodybuilders or anything, just people like you and me, then they would complain, he's not queer enough, he's not femme enough, he's not...
You're normal?
Yeah, well, for this crowd? Well, no, not even for this crowd, never mind.
Well, we didn't exactly have a gay character in this particular actor, but it was huge news that he's gay, T.R. Knight.
Yeah.
That was a very positive gay role model.
Absolutely.
When it came out.
Okay. But, yeah. Oh, what's his name? Doogie Howser. Mm-hmm. Look at him.
Neil Patrick Harris.
When he came out of the closet.
And he's still on television.
And he's still playing a straight man.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now that's acting.
Yep.
And that's
man. The way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was reading this article, I was reminded of a joke by a comedian, Alex Marpa, who said that one of the times he was interviewed and about, you know, was it like playing an effeminate, gay, Filipino man? And he said, the question should be, what is it like to be an effeminate, gay, Filipino man?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm not playing that part. That's who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, one of the problems that we have in this is that Hollywood producers and directors are under a certain amount of pressure to only cast or only write or produce effeminate, stereotypical characters.
Because less threatening.
Yeah, exactly. Because they are believable because they fit what everybody knows to be gay.
Fit the stereotype.
The ones that don't fit the stereotype threaten the paradigm.
Yeah, the masculine gay men threaten straight men.
So they play straight. Yeah. I mean, look at Wanda Sykes. She just came out of the closet. She and her wife had a set of twins.
And positive gay roles in movies and television are almost always played by straight men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a rarity nowadays. I mean,
gay actors are out of work, and yet they'll cast gay roles with straight men.
But I mean, look at Rupert Everett. Gay man, openly gay man, plays gay characters. Yeah. He's not a flaming queen.
Sir Ian McKellen. Incredible actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it Chris Pine who's playing Officer Fish on One Life to Live?
Clive Barker. Now, that's a queer I'd love to meet.
Yeah.
Clive Barker is gay, and
so twisted.
The Hellraiser movies and all these other movies and screenplays and books he's written.
He's twisted. I like him.
You can't call him queenie or effeminate.
No, hell no.
And if you listen to him, he sounds like Harvey Fierstein on drugs. He's got a graspy, gravelly voice that's worse than Harvey Fierstein.
Don't that just get you in the rubber parts?
Yeah. Except his voice is actually deeper and sexier when he says it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, no, I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. You know, in a way, I've heard this topic kind of thing before where, you know, just homosexuality in general is emasculating men, period.
And they
were talking about that a couple years ago.
They further emasculate gay men by not portraying gay men as being anywhere even possibly normal.
Yeah. Well, you know, because
the only other gay influence you have is what, RuPaul?
Even on Will and Grace, the supposedly straight character, the gay character, but the straight man in the comedic duo between the two of them, even supposedly the straight man in that duo was a vapid fag.
Were you talking about Jack?
Yeah.
From Billy's Hollywood On-Screen Kiss?
Will.
No.
Even that character was a vapid fag. And he was supposedly the straight acting one.
No.
Well,
you know,
not
so much.
But next to Jack, he was pretty butch. Oh, but, you know.
Yeah. Next to Jack, I'm butch.
Yeah, that's true.
That's difficult to do.
You see?
But no, one of the things you've got with the type of characters like that is that it's, I think what it is, they have to play up that effeminacy because you can't, it's not as acceptable yet to show them actually having a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, one's got to be the faggy bottom, one's got to be the butch top who's always making fun of the faggy bottom, you know?
But no, I mean, the fact of the... You know. I remember.
Honestly,
30-something. They didn't show the gay kiss.
The best example I can give of an average, everyday gay couple would have to be on the Sarah Silverman show.
Unfortunately, I don't get cable, so I never saw it. I love Sarah Silverman.
The funny thing is, the two guys playing the gay couple are straight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But, I mean, they also come from a world where they don't care if you're gay or straight.
Mm.
But once this chunky, frumpy, chubby, redheaded
Brian Posner.
Yeah. And
virgin.
Yeah, virgin, basically.
Virgin, but taller with talent.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot.
I don't know. Jimmy, tell us all about virgin's talent, please.
I don't want to hear it.
And
there's not much
please,
there.
Please, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to taste it. I don't know.
Please don't go there.
Please.
But I mean,
I don't want to see that picture.
They're just kind of like a couple of couch potatoes.
Not like it's ever going to get on the Louis list.
What?
A couple the of picture. Couch potatoes with a cocktail weenie, right?
It would get on the Louis list. It wouldn't get on the Louis website. I
that's
can't
what
do
I
anything
mean.
X-rated on the Louis website.
Well, okay. Well, wherever.
We'll link to it.
What's the new show
the
with
pictures.
The gay couple that adopted a baby?
That's Modern Living.
Modern Living. That couple is yet another couple of vapid fags. Stereotypical vapid fags.
Because that's what people not feel threatened about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a...
It's either that or they play the villain.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to have positive role models in the characters on television.
Well, you know...
It's a lot more positive than it used to be.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, you know, interesting with the One Life to Live storyline where you've got a gay cop and I think a gay doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly they're going to be allowed to have sex coming up here.
Now, wait a second. On 6 Feet Under...
Exactly. That was just
a normal gay couple.
It was.
Yeah.
It came to mind immediately.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, yes, they had some things that were negative, but as a whole...
They weren't flaming queen, drag queens out for the bar scene kind of stuff.
I think the first positive treatment I saw of a gay relationship or gay homosexuality in a family dynamic was on the television show Family. And I was really sad to see that canceled.
Mm. No, I actually like Soap. Billy Crystal was fabulous. He was the first openly gay character on TV. Was it Billy Crystal on Soap? Right.
But then they turned him into wanting to be transgender.
But he was the only sane one in that entire family.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
That was what was so funny, is the queer, the flaming faggot, was the only sane person on that whole show.
Yeah, but it was sad the way they started him off as, you know, being gay and, you know, was willing to go try and get sex reassignment surgery so that he could be with his semi-pro football quarterback boyfriend, who then dumped
David Copay,
who dumped him to you know try and pretend to be straight, and then of course you know I can't live without him and threatened to kill himself, and then you turn gay.
Yeah.
And by the end of the series, he was straight practically.
But I mean, that was really the first encounter with a gay character anybody ever had,
pretty much,
except for, you know, mom going to her hairdresser.
Well, in primetime television, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
No, I think one of the first primetime TV was probably Archie Bunker's first time they actually addressed that situation.
But they touched on it in, like, one episode.
Yeah. But I'm saying...
Yeah, yeah, a returning character.
It was, yeah.
But then again...
Well, now we're not talking about Maude, okay?
Nah, I was thinking more Madam.
Yeah. Wayland Flower.
I loved Maude.
She was great.
She's standing right next to you. Look at... Oh, not Maude. Sorry.
B. Arthur's got...
I'm sorry, you're mad. I'm not Maude.
That's right.
Thank
you. He's not tall enough to be.
B. Arthur's got balls. She wears them a little high, but she's got balls.
No, she don't wear them too high anymore. They're about where they should be now.
Yeah. Well, she had her knees well insured.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, what's next?
Let's see. Doctors say gay marriage and military ban is bad for health.
Bad for health?
The American Medical Association voted yesterday to oppose bans on gay marriage and out gay personnel in the military. According to the AMA, which is the nation's largest collective for doctors, both bans promote health disparities. The meeting yesterday heard evidence on the issue of the statistics physicians experience. People who are not married are less likely to have health insurance or are more likely to suffer sickness and die younger. The AMA Council report presented at the meeting said gay couples in many U.S. states could not marry and were not eligible for tax breaks, spousal benefits, Social Security survivor benefits, all disparities which could arguably put health at risk. Delegates also cited health issues around the ban of openly gay military personnel. The ban means that gays and lesbians can serve in the armed forces but must not reveal their sexual orientation to colleagues, which includes medical professionals. Associated Press reports the doctors who pushed for the opposition to the gay ban said it had a chilling effect on communication between gays and their doctors.
I think it's pretty obvious that when you go in your the military and you go for your physical checkup and they do the rectal exam and you get a hard on, I think that...
Or you ask him, have you started yet?
Yeah. Yeah, when he tries to go for two fingers and you
read the card
your butt, and you swallow
and you're
the
pushing
whole hand,
back you know. On it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
You clenched tighter.
Doctor, did you find the rose? Read the card.
Read the card. Read the card.
Oh, you broke
that. That is such an old joke.
Now, the interesting thing is that this story we're reading about the American Medical Association talking about trying to ban this here, it was from a British news website.
Of course. The American news agencies wouldn't cover it, but this is the problem, is that study right there is just an excuse for the religious rights they see. If we don't let them have any rights, they'll die quicker, and we'll get them out of here.
Well, we never get any news from the AJM, the American Journal of Medicine, but we get a lot of reports from the British Journal of Medicine.
Yeah, The Lancet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you hear that?
And they also are really good about republishing articles from the American Journal.
Right.
Okay. Next.
I ran out of stories.
Okay.
Gotta keep, oh, no, we got the ones you have here. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Vote. Since we have dead time,
okay,
vote.
Okay, here we go.
The top one and then the second one. They kind of work together.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess I'll do that.
I don't have my card here tonight.
Fine.
Okay.
Talk.
Okay.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Spanish
nobody
region.
Moves a vehicle for yeah, nobody moves their car for me.
Spanish region takes a hands-on approach to sex education. Officials launch campaign to teach young people about sexual self-exploration and discovery of self-pleasure.
We're teaching children how to masturbate now?
In Spain.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on... Oh.
On the... yeah.
It is a subject that would make most governments blush, but not officials in the Spanish region of Extremadura, which has launched a major program to encourage what could be described as a more hands-on approach to sexuality.
I guess.
The region's socialist government has launched a 14,000 euro... That's it? Campaign aimed at teaching young people how best to set about sexual self-exploration and the discovery of self-pleasure, or to put it less delicately, masturbation. Pleasure is in your own hands is the slogan of a campaign
literally
that has sparked political controversy and challenges traditional Roman Catholic views on people having sex, even on their own for non-reproductive reasons. It is an intimate subject which should be dealt with at home, complained local opposition leader Hernandez Carón of the right-wing People's Party.
But it never is!
We have become the laughingstock of Spain. They're interfering with the rights of parents to educate their own children as a matter of importance of their sexuality, agreed the Conservative Confederation of Fathers and Mothers of School Children.
Got news for you. The U.S. is laughing at you, too.
And Jocelyn Elders is going, damn it, it took them long enough.
I know it. I'm all for this.
Officials from the neighboring region of Andalusia have expressed an interest in copying the program.
Good.
The campaigns include leaflets, flyers, a fanzine, and workshops for the young in which they receive instruction on self-pleasuring techniques along with advice on contraception and self-respect.
Exactly.
Extremadura's government is funding the campaign through its youth and women's affairs departments. The campaign is simple, clear, natural, and easily understood by the people it is aimed at, who are between 14 and 17, said Laura Garrido, president of the Youth Council of Extremadura. Commentators question why the poorest region of Spain was paying for a campaign to promote onanism.
Onanism?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because they are the poorest section in Spain, and there's probably a very high teenage birth rate. And if you present masturbation as something that is looked up to, or is commonplace, or accepted.
Okay, Jimmy, I have a problem with that, okay?
And
I'm going to explain this to you. If they're the poorest region in Spain, then why are they spending 14,000 euros to teach their kids how to masturbate?
To keep down the teen pregnancy.
Spending money they don't have.
Along with this program is coming, you know, self-reliance and
Discussions on the campaign includes they receive instruction on self-pleasuring techniques along with advice on contraception and self-respect.
Yes, exactly. So why aren't they doing it using volunteers?
Well, I can see what the point of the fact is that
they're not spending a lot of money on it.
Yeah, considering the fact that they probably have over there with a socialist government a socialized healthcare system. It's a lot easier to teach these kids to wank off before they knock up the neighbor.
Exactly.
I want to see a show of hands here in the studio. How many people here had to be taught how to masturbate? One.
Well, you're...
And Jimmy, that figures.
and it was just that an older guy showed me.
Well, remember, you're talking about a highly Roman Catholic area.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that Roman Catholic guilt teaching you.
Absolutely.
All they have to
do is be told that they can. They don't need to be taught how.
But they're just handing them a piece of paper.
They're also being taught that it's an acceptable form of sexuality. Nobody has been taught that. You have to figure it out on your own later in life.
I have a real problem with government-sponsored education on masturbation. Because, honestly, I have to agree with the conservatives who say that belongs at home.
So, I guess you're against any kind of education about AIDS.
No, I'm not.
That's sexuality.
No, that's disease prevention.
It's sexuality.
That's disease prevention.
Because you're talking about abstinence, and you're talking about contraception.
And we're talking about hemophilia, we're talking about blood transfusions, we're talking about organ transplants.
Well, you can talk about all that, but you can't talk about the sex part.
Okay, because discussions about sex and sexuality should be given at home.
But it never is, that's
okay,
the point.
Okay, and so we have to step in and do it for them.
Yes! Yes, absolutely.
No.
Because it's not being done at home. And all the generations past have had all of these crazy ideas about what sexuality is, and you had to learn it on your own.
Discussion about disease prevention, including the use of condoms and dental dams, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. Yes, that should be part of health education in school.
Uh-huh, sure.
But discussions, teaching children how to masturbate is not the job of the state. It's
yes, it is.
No.
We have to agree to disagree then.
Okay, then we will agree to disagree.
Well, now, the fact is, like I said, it's not like they're going into the schools and, handing them a banana and saying, here's how you rub it.
It's a
pamphlet, basically, saying, you're not going to hell, you're not going blind.
Exactly.
It can be held, it can be something that's taught in...
Well, I think probably the reason that the Roman Catholic Church has a problem with it is because it means contraception. It means teaching contraception, which is against Roman Catholic doctrine.
And that's why the Pope is responsible for so many AIDS deaths.
Right. Not only that, but for so many unwanted teen pregnancies.
You bet. Even more so.
Because abortion is just, oh, God, don't even mention that to a Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, Catholics are not the only religion that feel that way,
too. We made
somebody
mad.
Good. So, was there more to that article?
Somebody's awake and listening.
I'm sorry, I had to blow my nose.
That's okay. Was there more to the?
No.
Okay.
Boy, how am I supposed to read this one?
Just, there's nothing wrong with what's written there.
Wrong.
Why?
You didn't read it very well. It's an article from Gay Men's Health. It is possible to get HIV from fellatio, but the likelihood of...
That's not the one I was talking about.
Oh, another one.
That was the next one on the list here, which was all about rooster licking and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, it's the other one about sperm.
Okay. I remember calculating one time about the daily production of a man's splooge. And it gave me a boner thinking about it. As of July 2007, it was estimated there were 6,602,224,175 people in the world.
Yeah.
For purpose of discussion, I'll say half of them are men. That gives us 3.3 billion men. Mm-hmm. Let's divide this up into 16 even parts representing the ages 1 to 5, 6 to 10, 11 to 15, et cetera, up to 75 to 80.
Mm-hmm.
Each five-year span will include 206,225,000 men. Mm-hmm. Let's say each man masturbates at least once a day between the ages of 15 to 50. Okay. That gives us 1.4 billion men masturbating daily. According to Wikipedia, the normal ejaculation may contain anywhere from 1.5 to 5 milliliters. So let's pick the middle range of the ejaculation at 3.25 milliliters per male. That's 4.7 billion milliliters, or 4.7 million liters. A liter is close to a quart, so that would approximately be 1.173 million gallons of sperm.
That's a lot of sperm.
It takes about 600,000 gallons of water to fill an Olympic-sized pool. You could fill two Olympic-sized swimming pools every day with male sperm. As a side note, 58.3 million are coming every hour. 972,000 men are coming every minute. And 16,213 men are coming every second of every day.
Wow. No wonder you can fill a swimming pool. I just thought that was kind of...
Jimmy, you know you dive into that.
Yeah, you know. I just thought that was kind of crazy.
Yeah. There we will agree to agree.
You know, somebody sat down to figure this out.
Somebody was obsessed.
Yes.
Somebody has way too much time on their hands.
Exactly.
And the fact that there is a Wikipedia listing for ejaculation volume.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What do you know?
Averaging it, even.
There you go.
I'm seeing an event in the next gay games for some reason.
Oh, God. 25 laps of the pool, gentlemen. Oh, God.
Wrong lap.
Not pools in the lap, laps in the pool.
Oh, boy.
I guess for the lesbian event, it'll be then a turkey baster race in the swimming pool.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
The later it gets, the worse it gets.
Now, do we need to go to a piece of music?
On that note, I'm going out on the patio.
Well, it's like the joke I made a couple of years ago. Why was Thanksgiving dinner almost ruined at the Cheney house?
Why?
Because Mary forgot to return the turkey baster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
An oldie but a goodie.
I know. What else we got?
Well, you've got your other one here that I have to clean up a lot.
Okay, well, you know.
From Gay Men's Health.
Out of New York?
I don't know, it just says
Gay Men's Health. Gay Men's Health is from New York, yeah.
It is possible to get HIV from fellatio, but the likelihood of this occurring is very low. No one knows exactly how risky fellatio is, partially because most of the men who fellate also will top or bottom,
mm-hmm.
as well, and it is impossible to know which sexual act is responsible for the transmission of HIV.
Yeah.
Very few
because
men,
it's all subjective.
Yeah. Which very few men who only reported risk from what?
I can barely hear you.
Really?
Oh, there we go.
Very few men who's only reported risk is from oral sex have caught HIV, which leads us to believe that the risk is relatively low, but also indicates that there is some risk.
Mm.
Oral sex is the most frequent kind of gay sex, one. So it says a lot more. So it says a lot that so few men have caught HIV from oral sex. Oh, I'm sorry. The one was a footnote.
Yeah.
We also know that over 95% of HIV infections in gay men are due to anal.
Mm-hmm.
Try to clean this
anal receptive. Anal receptive sex.
It just says due to FCCing.
Okay.
The reason oral sex is much safer than getting topped,
mm-hmm.
or
yeah,
is that the throat is not as vulnerable to infection as the arse is.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't change that. It actually says arse.
Oh.
Saliva has properties that can disable some infections, including HIV. There also needs to be quite a lot of HIV present for the infection to take place. Also, the mouth and throat are not as efficient at absorbing liquids into the bloodstream as the lining of the arse is.
Right.
Even if you swallow any HIV that may be there, will usually be killed by the strong acids in your stomach.
Yeah, about the only thing that's going to... If you have cuts in your gums, that's the only way that it's going to enter the bloodstream.
Remember, safe sex means never going down on your waiter at a Mexican restaurant.
There you go. Because, if you had the chips and you may have...
Or at a really good pizzeria. Because they're going to bring it out hot. You're gonna
or after brushing your teeth, even.
Even though HIV risk from fellatio is relatively low, there's always a chance you can reduce the risk further. It's extremely likely you can catch HIV from giving someone if they don't ejaculate.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are some HIV in the pre-ejaculate of the man with HIV, it's much less than there is in the actual ejaculate. Oh, can we say cum?
We can say cum.
Okay. It's because the man will generally produce more cum than he does pre-cum, and because cum has a higher concentration of HIV than pre-cum. The protective properties in the saliva will usually be able to disable the amount of HIV there is in pre-cum.
Mm.
A condom used correctly will leave a bad taste in your mouth and will prevent either cum or pre-cum from getting into the mouth, although few gay men in the UK currently use condoms for oral sex.
Or here.
You'll be more vulnerable to infections if you have bleeding, scratch, damaged gums, mouth ulcers, or sore throat. People with gum disease or ulcers will be more likely to catch HIV or other infections from oral sex. While it may be wise to avoid brushing your teeth just before giving someone a hummer, mm-hmm. particularly if you want them to ejaculate, using mouthwash before or immediately after will remove the protective properties that saliva contains, so may also increase the risk of transmission.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Although the risk of HIV infection is relatively low, some other STIs may be easily passed via oral sex, such mm-hmm. as chlamydia, gonorrhea, herpes, or syphilis.
Yeah.
These risks can be avoided by using a condom for oral sex, although many men prefer to take the risk than taste the rubber. There is a small risk of picking up hepatitis B through oral sex if you have not been vaccinated. If you have an existing STI in your throat, you will be more vulnerable to infection, and the chances of picking up HIV or Hep B are increased. No one has ever caught HIV from being fellated. However, you may be vulnerable to other STIs this way, such as chlamydia, gonorrhea, herpes, and syphilis. This is because all of these STIs are much more infectious than HIV.
Mm.
If you wanted to prevent the small risk of getting an STI, you should wear a condom for oral sex. As many men choose not to do this, it's advisable to have regular sex health checkups to ensure that any infections you may pick up can be detected and treated quickly.
Good idea. Just some sex education for the listeners of After Hours.
And if you're needing to get any form of testing for either HIV AIDS or any STIs or STDs, whichever term you prefer to use,
mm-hmm.
You can always contact Legacy Community Health Services, and they will schedule you for... The best way for the HIV testing is find out which one of the bars or clubs they're located that they're going into, and get the 20-minute oral exam there.
Or go to their office at 215 Westheimer.
And then you can get the blood work test mm-hmm. done, which takes 2 weeks to get the results back.
It's a better test.
Yeah. Or you can go and get the full STI panel done, where they shove the pipe cleaner up your
your hoo hoo.
Yeah, that was that is a payable one.
Actually, it's a lot better than it used to be. They don't have to shove it in as deep as they used to.
Mine's not that deep to start with. Doesn't matter how far you're going.
But it's wide.
So,
yes.
We do have, since we've got some time to kill here, we do have our fee totals on our challenge for the...
Yes, for the show tonight. And it's not as good as we thought, folks.
Aw. Yeah, I actually got to add another donation.
See, the whole idea was the poundage. We were trying to raise...
your weight and my weight.
Which was about 500 pounds.
And we got halfway there. We're at 250. Also, when I consider the fact of what my goal was, I put down for raising money for the radio station, we got halfway there too.
Yeah.
So basically, we had a half-ass attempt. And
I don't know. I saw you up on stage. You looked like a full ass to me.
Especially that dress.
Just wait till you see that on YouTube.
Oh boy.
The best way to find it is
become a friend of ours on Facebook.
Yes.
And you'll be able to link to the pictures taken at, during our show from ours and the other people who did video.
That's scary.
I'll have to get with Jonathan and get that video to put on the page.
Yes, and then, like I said, I definitely want to contact Pussy and...
Pussy Tourette.
Pussy Tourette,
yes.
Who is the original... Well, is the performer whose version I used...
Ruth Brown did the original.
...on that. And I know on Pussy's web YouTube site has performances of others who have been who've covered her songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've also got to find the when the Houston Big Men's Club did... the part up. I think he's gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to send that to her. And it was followed up with Lady Marmalade and such. But give her that little part. There's if someone totally different of doing her shtick.
You bet.
And I finally saw her. There was a YouTube clip of her performing at a Folsom Street Fair 2 years ago or something. And... So, interesting stuff on that. So, we're coming up here at the top of the hour. We got Zydeco Pasta LA coming up here next. Followed up with that is the Red Eye Special.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.
Right. Oops, hold on. I hit the wrong button. I need to hit the button here.
The Pacifica Radio Archives is launching its Campus Campaign 2.0, premiering new educational collections in science, Latino-Chicano studies, Native American studies, and LGBT studies.
It's exciting to look back because it gives you ideas for the future.
This year, if you donate, we will send a copy of one of our historic recordings to a school or college of your choice. The Campus Campaign 2.0, coming November 16th and 17th right here on your Pacifica radio station. Pacifica Radio Archives is launching its Campus Campaign 2.0, premiering new educational collections in science, Latino-Chicano studies, Native American studies, and LGBT studies.
It's exciting to look back because it gives you ideas for the future.
This year, if you donate, we will send a copy of one of our historic recordings to a school or college of your choice. The Campus Campaign 2.0, coming November 16th and 17th right here on your Pacifica radio station.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get
me. I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.